All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
Some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago, and we're here until 5 a.m. Yeah. And it's Wednesday, so that means Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? And that means any artist, any song, anything, get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 7200. All right, coming up on the show this morning, we're going to be joined live in studio by Jake Pearson, who is a singer and a songwriter. He's going to be appearing at the Montrose Saloon tonight, in fact, and that's at 2933 West Montrose. He's a singer-songwriter. He's bringing his guitar, and we'll get him from the PPG Paints green room in a minute, and he'll be joining us live in studio. We're going to talk, hang out, and listen to some live music with Jake Pearson, singer-songwriter. Also coming up a little bit later on after the 2 o'clock news, Sandy Price is going to join us. She's from the Rogers Park Business Alliance. She's the executive director of that alliance. And we're talking about the Glenwood Sunday Market, which is the Rogers Park Farmers Market that is every Sunday. And it starts on June 2nd. And they want to raise some money for this farmer's market. So they're having a secret garden gala this Saturday. And we'll give you all the details on how you can go to that and much more. I'm getting real tired of coming into work to say on the radio that somebody really great died. And it's the, you know, we had Peggy Lipton, then we had Doris Day, and now Tim Conway, a comedy legend, one of the funniest people that ever lived. He died. He was 85 years old. He did suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia. But he was so unbelievably funny. We all remember him on the Carol Burnett Show. He was, you know, the stuff between him and Harvey Korman is legendary. And we're going to play some audio from some of his funniest bits from the Carol Burnett Show. He was also from McHale's Navy, if people remember him from McHale's Navy. And he did a few movies. He and Don Knotts made some really fun movies together in the late 70s and early 80s. He toured around the country. Of course, we remember Dorf, some of his characters, Dorf on golf. He was really a comedy. He was a comedy hero of mine and one of the funniest people that ever walked the earth. So we're going to pay tribute to Tim Conway and talk about the Carol Burnett Show and all that stuff. And that's going to lead us into a conversation about some essential TV comedy. In different categories of television programming, and what is essential in TV comedy, because the Carol Burnett Show was absolutely essential TV comedy. Watched it every Saturday night when I was growing up. Saturday night on CBS was like a murderer's row of shows, because on one night, and Saturday night used to be a night where they would have big shows on. Now it's not really. Fridays and Saturdays are kind of, you know, they don't really program a lot of great stuff. Locally, though, of course, we have Svengoolie for Saturday, which is the greatest. But back in the 70s, CBS had, in a row, mind you, All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore. What was the other one? Mary Tyler Moore. Wait, All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, Bob Newhart. So all of those were back to back to back. And then Carol Burnett. So that was your Saturday night. So Saturday night was CBS night, and it was all crowned with Carol Burnett at the end. So imagine that lineup. I mean, it's insane. All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart Show, Carol Burnett, all back to back to back to back to back. Essential comedy. That's what we were talking about. So we're going to jump into that too, and do a nice tribute to Tim Conway. All right. Let me say hello to the crew here. My good producer, great producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Well, I just can't believe it. You know what they say, bad things come in threes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many legends lost. And
this was 3 days in a row, too.
I know.
So it's, you know, man. And these were legends, you know, mm-hmm. all three of them. And there's this video that's made the rounds on social media of Doris Day serenading Tim Conway. And man, it's not an easy thing to watch, man.
I know.
So anyway, but Tim Conway was so funny. Oh my God, was he funny.
Masterclass in visual comedy.
Great. And he did everything. And you know, everybody loved to watch him make Harvey Korman crack up, you know, and not only just make him crack up, make everybody on the stage crack up during the Carol Burnett show, because he would go off script. And we're going to play a classic thing that he did during a Mama's Family sketch on Carol Burnett, where he talks about an elephant. It's a story about an elephant. It's a pretty classic piece of television that ends with the great Vicki Lawrence capping the whole thing off with something we can't say on the radio, so we're beeping it. But yeah, it's a classic moment. Dick Van Dyke, Vicki Lawrence, Carol Burnett, and Tim Conway all in this one sketch, and it is it's legendary. And he was brilliantly funny. So we're going to pay tribute to a legend, Tim Conway. That'll be coming up later on. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Very well.
Did you ever watch the Carol Burnett show when you were young?
I watched the Carol Burnett show, and I watched Conway in a lot of movies growing up. He's one of my parents' favorites, and as a result, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
He was so funny.
As Dorf, I mean, as
Dorf.
As a kid, I loved him. You know?
Yeah, Dorf was ridiculous and absolutely funny. Really, really funny. Yeah, it's a huge loss, you know, especially to the world of comedy. He was just an absolute legend. But we have a lot of stuff that's left, you know, that he left behind. You know, so he left a treasure trove of television shows and movies and appearances on talk shows and things like that. I think Antenna TV tonight is repeating one of Tim Conway's appearances on Carson. I think that's happening tonight. Mm-hmm. Because you know, Antenna TV, you know, they have a tendency to do that. They could probably show what Doris Day has made some pretty legendary appearances on the Tonight Show. So maybe they'll bust some of those out too, Antenna TV, because they run the Tonight Show regularly. So anyway, hey, how about them Cubs though?
Oh yeah,
I mean, my man, oh man, they're on a run, man, and what's going on with Hendricks?
I don't know. The guy's a machine.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Not only that, not only did he pitch into the ninth inning and get the win, this is his third win in a row and his third performance in a row where he went eight innings. It's ridiculous. But he went 3-for-4 last night. He only had 4 hits all year last year. He went 3-for-4 last night, got 2 RBIs, and basically won the game.
I mean, that's why they call him the professor. He's got mathematical precision.
It's unbelievable. And it's so good. And Chris Bryant is on fire right now. I mean, he's swinging the bat like crazy. The whole team. That was a big win. That was a fun win for the Cubs last night. Vic, you got to see a little of it?
Yeah, I woke up. The game started at 5:40, right?
Yeah, it was a 5:40 game, yeah. So it was over a little after 8.
Yeah. Because I got up about 7:45 and watched it while I was
So it was a good, and it's another early sort of first pitch tonight, another 5:40 start.
Yep,
they're in
yep.
Cincinnati. Yeah, and it's not like Cincinnati's a bad team. Cincinnati has some of the best pitching in the league. But yeah, man, the Cubs look great. They just look great. I can't tell you, Vic, how happy my father is right now.
Yep.
Because my dad, as you know, is like the biggest Cub fan on the planet. And I've said this before.
I've said this before.
If it were late September, the Cubs were 20 games under 500, my dad would still watch every inning of every game on the edge of the seat, screaming at the TV and clapping.
So, and I'm kind of jaded because I haven't got to watch very many of the games this year yet. So
yeah, I end up doing mostly because I try to get some sleep. I'll probably lay in bed and I turn the radio on and listen to the game to see what's going on.
Right.
But anyway, so the Cubs playing some incredible baseball. So there you go. All right. So anyway, coming up later on, we're going to talk about the Rogers Park Farmers Market that's coming back with Sandy Price. We're going to pay tribute to the great Tim Conway. We're going to talk about some of the most essential TV comedy of all time. And then after the break right here, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jake Pearson is going to join us. He's got a gig tonight, Wednesday, May 15th, at the Montrose Saloon. And he's going to be here live. We're going to hear some live music as well as talk with him. And that's going to be coming up right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Make some... Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It is Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So right now, we want to welcome to the show Jacob Tage, who I introduced as Jake Pearson, but you go by Jacob Tage.
Yeah, that's correct. That's
But for the gig tonight, they actually on the website on the Montrose Saloon website they have you as Jake.
They did, Pearson. Yeah, I've been Jake Pearson for a while, and I recently decided to go with Jacob Tage, my first and middle name, just as like the artist branding. I was trying to come up with like another name, but I was like, let's just be me.
There you go, Jacob Tage. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Great to be
it's,
here.
It's thanks for coming down, man. So where are you from?
I'm from Sycamore, Illinois. Not too far out of here. That's DeKalb for the folks who don't know it. About 50 miles west. It's like suburbs. Suburbs, corn, DeKalb County.
There you go.
So
you grew up there, huh?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and was it a lot of music in your life when you were growing up?
Yeah, it's always been around. My dad was a roadie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was. This band called the Luxury, who used to play Summerfest all the time.
Yeah, I know that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Holy, he was a roadie for the Luxury?
Yeah, he's a roadie.
Wow, I bet he's got some stories.
He does, man. I probably shouldn't tell him.
did he tour around? Was he on the road a lot?
Yeah, he was with him for about 3 years. He was just like, he would set up and drive the van, do all that stuff, make sure everybody had beers, whole thing.
Yeah, that's very important.
It is.
Wow, the Luxury. I haven't heard the name of that band in a long time, man.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. The life of a roadie. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, there was a movie called Roadie many, many years ago with Meatloaf.
Okay.
Where Meatloaf played a roadie.
It's very humble of
him. And it was a very goofy movie. It was very funny. I would love to ask your dad about if he's seen that movie and how accurate it is.
Oh yeah, I bet he could tell you.
Man, I don't know why I think that's so cool that your dad's a roadie. That was just it's amazing.
Hey, you know, it's a great setup. I've been hearing Black Sabbath since I was in the womb.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yep. There it is. And you can go. What's the one thing? I have a picture of a woman that I posted. It goes online every once in a while. It's a really cute girl with a t-shirt. And the t-shirt says, you can only trust yourself in the first 6 Black Sabbath albums.
Yeah, okay, there
and
it
I'm
is.
And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
So, you're from Sycamore. Mm-hmm. When did you start playing music?
I mean, I guess I did choir, like, all back in the day. You know, I did a bunch of theater. But I guess I started playing guitar when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a late bloomer.
And you did some music. You did some musical theater.
Yeah, I did like 23 shows from like middle school to
high
school.
Whoa, tell me what were some of them?
I was in Annie. I wasn't Annie, unfortunately. your listeners won't know that I'm a redhead.
Yeah, you are a redhead. Yeah,
but it was the Scarecrow and Wizard of Oz in the 8th grade. That was kind of my peak.
Yeah,
you know,
that was your peak. You peaked at 13.
Yeah, so I knew theater wasn't for me. You know, it was a good time. Learned a lot of important stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. But choir though, so you're trained.
Yeah, I actually got my degree in voice. I'm classically trained.
And you went to Millikan, right?
Yep, I sure did.
How was that?
It's cool because Millikan's got this great, it's a classical conservatory in the fullest extent, but it also has a recording studies program.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I spent like 400 hours in the recording studio since it was such a small school and like, you know, Columbia is a great school, but there's the cats here. They have to find the time outside of the school.
Right, right.
You know, they get like maybe 30 hours in the studio there because it's so saturated. But at Millikan, it's like, if you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
All kinds of time in there.
So that was a good time for you.
It was great. It was just what I needed. And I met some wonderful people who I'm still working with today all across the country. So,
yeah.
You know,
that's cool, man. That's a good school. That's a good school. You got siblings?
I do. I have a little brother. He'll be 21 in July.
Okay.
And he's taken up the good work of carpentry because trade school's not dead. He's a smart kid.
Yeah. There you go. Now, do you influence him? Because, you know, I was an only child, so I didn't have like the older brother or older sister to hand down their records to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you try to do that with your little brother?
Well, we're such like a rock and roll family because of my dad, but he when he was like in fifth grade, he found the Space Jam soundtrack. And like his life was changed. He's been a hip hop kid ever since.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's been rapping for 6 years and I haven't heard it yet, but he's got to be pretty all right.
Yeah. Okay, I got to do Space Jam. Wow.
Yeah, it changed his life, man. All of a sudden, he's on Kendrick and Joey Badass and all those guys, you know?
Yeah.
That's his jam.
Now, what were you listening to? Obviously, your dad, rock and roll guy, roadie. What was the kind of music that was being played in your house?
Oh, man. I mean, my mom never really liked rock and roll, so it was always kind of like she maybe get an acoustic guitar at one point, but it was. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of rock and roll still. I mean, I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and, like, you know, they both liked Aerosmith. That was, like, a middle of the road for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot. I mean, and Bat and Sycamore, if you weren't looking for new music, you didn't hear it. Like, the Foo Fighters are the newest thing I knew about back in, you know, 2006.
Yeah.
So, a lot of Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. So, classic rock.
My first love. You know?
Classic rock
all day.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was growing up, it was just called rock.
Yeah,
because I'm that old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were talking about music the other night. I saw Zeppelin twice.
Oh man,
so I'm in 75.
Great,
and they were great. And then in 77, they were terrible.
Yeah, sure. Well,
because they
were
loaded.
I'd see them in 77, man. Don't rub it in.
Well, they were in bad shape. That tour. I've talked about this before on the air. Paige did most of the show from a folding chair
because
he was so loaded.
God,
yeah. Terrible.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I did see them in 75, and they were amazing. So, and I got into the classic rock stuff big time. That was, and it's still my go to.
Yeah, I think it's kind of coming around in a fun way. Like we did, there was the folk revival thing. So we're like, oh, the 60s are cool.
Yeah,
and then everyone's like, oh, maybe like Parliament and maybe like funk is cool, and that's kind of happening. Blues is back. You know, got to thank the Black Keys and Adele for that.
Sure.
Now it's like, hey, you know, this rock and roll never died. Chicago's a great punk rock city.
It is.
So it's alive and well here. And,
yeah, very cool.
It's coming around, baby.
All right, Jacob, hang on, okay, man?
Oh, you bet.
All right. Jacob Tage is with us, and he is playing tonight at the Montrose Saloon, 2933 West Montrose. Check out montrosesaloon.com. It starts at 8 o'clock, and there's no cover. So we're going to talk more with Jacob and hear some music, hear a couple of songs live. But we got to take a break here for the news, which is coming up right after this. A little deluxury for you.
Oh yeah. if there's a thanks to Ray Crash Pearson, that's the reference.
That's it?
That's him.
There
baby.
You go. Jacob Tage is with us, singer-songwriter, and his dad used to roadie for deluxury.
Ooh.
And I have not heard that band in so many years. But he's here live in studio. We're hanging out talking, and he's playing tonight, in fact. He's got a gig at Montrose Saloon, 2933 West Montrose. You can check out montrosesaloon.com. And as far as songwriting goes, Jacob, how'd you get started in that?
I mean, I guess like as quick as I was playing guitar, I was writing songs. I started playing guitar when I was 14. I started writing songs when I was 14. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you sing a lot of melodies when you're doing all that stuff, and it just there's a lot of improv games, and yeah, it just kind of came naturally.
Now, the performance tonight, are you with how many bands have you been in?
By now,
yeah.
Shoot. I mean, maybe, let's say 13.
Yeah.
Let's just call it 13.
Let's call it 13.
That seems fair.
Yeah. What would you remember the first band?
The first band would have been Vagabond back in the day. We were really good. That's not a word, and we thought that was cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not Vagabond.
No, it's not. It was Vagabond.
Vagabond.
We got booed off stage on our first show at a battle of the bands because our singer forgot the words and started rolling around on the stage. And you know,
well, that's your go-to, right?
And it's been up from there.
I can't think the lyrics right now, so I'll just roll around on the stage.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
When you forget words.
That's what you do.
You roll around.
That's great. Now, was that in Sycamore?
That was in Genoa. No. We were the youngest kids at the Battle of the Bands, and we didn't win. So.
It's like School of Rock.
It was awesome, man. It was real. I was like, I'm not done. This isn't enough.
Yeah, yeah. Now, were you in cover bands at all?
Yeah, sort of. It was kind of, I definitely have played in a couple, I played this with this R&B band. It was like, the dudes were like 55. That was really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've played in like a wedding band, do the cover band thing.
Oh,
for sure.
Wedding band. You know, that whatever. Must have been fun.
You know, it's kind of, if you have the right attitude about it, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you don't freak out and just have a good time, they're happy you're there.
Yeah.
So it can be fun.
Yeah. All right, cool. So you've been around, man.
Been doing it.
Yeah. All right. Tell me now, you said off the air we were talking, you got a new album coming out?
I do. Thanks for bringing that up.
Let's talk about it.
It's called Opie, which is an Andy Griffith reference, of course.
Yeah.
I'm really rocking the orange thing. That's the branding, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, you're a redhead wearing an orange hat, yes, and orange t-shirt.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about it.
And orange tinted glasses.
Yep. I got some orange boots I didn't wear. I'll wear them next time.
Well, tell me about the album.
Yeah, so it's it's been my first album in 5 years. I put two out when I was in college and had some projects that didn't really go through. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do the solo thing and I'm going to try to make something people will like. How can I be genuine with what I do and still get something everybody could listen to? So I was like, well, I love singing R&B music of all kinds and I'm good at singing R&B music. So let's just start with that and see what happens. And
yeah.
There's like a Motown Stax throwback, but then there's like some like future pop blues stuff and some a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of country.
How long did it take you to write?
About a year. Wrote 30 songs and picked the 9 best.
Yeah.
And then took about 9 months to record and do everything.
Did you record it here, Chicago?
Yeah, I recorded at Sound Vault Studios up in Fort Knox with a guy named Packy Lundholm, who's a phenomenal person and a great producer. It's just so easy to work with them. It's like, hey, how about this? And he's like, boom, it's done in 20 minutes. It's,
yeah. Who were the other musicians on the album?
It's just me and Packy.
Oh, it's just you and Packy. That's...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had my friend Greg Woods come and played some piano. I had my friends from Mosaic sing some background vocals. But yeah, it's mostly just me and Packy.
It's cool, man.
It's fun, man.
Yeah. That sounds cool. When's it come out?
It's coming out. I'm going to start releasing singles in June.
Okay.
And then maybe another one in July, and then a video in there, and then release in August. It's still kind of figuring out the promo dates while we're figuring out, finishing mastering.
Yeah.
So the timeline's not solid yet, but.
You like working in the studio?
Oh, man, it's the best thing to do. It's like there's no better way to spend a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you like it more than playing out?
I mean, I love playing out. That's a different thing. But they're both two lovely treats. The recording studio is definitely a little bit more special when you're recording your own music.
Yeah.
You're making your art and you're putting a permanent statement out there. And that's,
yeah.
The detail that goes into that is really exhilarating. And to make something happen, it's.
Tell me about the first two albums. What were those experiences like?
Sure. So I had a rock band, called Good Safari. We played in college and we had an album called Hunter. And it's just like a garage rock album, And that's pretty much all there is to it. And super fun. Loved Nirvana as a kid. So
yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
And then I had a bunch of songs that were Sad Boy songs left over, and I was like, hey, let's record these. And then that became After Several Blows to the Head, and it's just a bunch of Sad Boy songs. And,
yeah.
And that's this is technically the follow-up to that.
But okay.
I put it under Jacob Tage, but it's technically, quote-unquote, Jake Pearson.
Okay. And now you know Tom, my producer.
I do know Tom. All me right. And actually Good Safari is how I know Tom.
Tell me about that, Tom.
So back when I was in late high school, a good friend of ours, Dave Hollis, used to put on a summer concert in his driveway.
Yes.
He got the permissions to call it a block party. All the neighbors were in on it. They were like, yeah, let's do it. It was called Lakeshore Funk Show.
Yes, it was.
And
where was this?
This was in Crystal Lake.
Okay. It was back in Crystal Lake.
Yeah, in Crystal Lake. Not far from the beach at all. Not far from Main Beach, if anybody knows it. But yeah, it was just a bunch of us all got together and played in the in Dave's driveway. And I did not play. I had the distinct honor of being the MC of the event at least once.
He was great.
So, so that's how I got to know Jake. And I watched him do Good Safari. And he's always been a very talented musician, very thoughtful musician. And I'm glad he's still going.
Yeah.
Thanks.
New album coming out, gig tonight.
Yeah.
You ever play Montrose Saloon?
I haven't, actually. A good buddy of mine, Charles Williams from, Nunchuck is what he goes by. Local Boards is the band.
Yeah.
And he put me in touch with them. So.
I've had a lot of bands and musicians in studio, hanging out and stuff. Montrose Saloon, everybody loves Montrose.
Great, man. I'm
I just had my good friend Rachel Drew, who's an incredible singer. She played, she plays there pretty regularly.
Sure.
And loves the room.
Awesome.
What are some of the places in Chicago that you like playing?
I mean, I've stepped. I love Moe's. You know, anybody can play Moe's in a good way. You mm-hmm. know, they're like a fun venue that like they're welcoming and they have artists there. I loved playing Emporium. I always wanted to play Emporium when I got here, and that was super fun. Cafe Mustache is one of my favorite shows to play at. That's a great room, and they reinvigorated it over the past couple of years. And it's just this hip little spot. It's a big room, but it's not too big. And
right,
yeah, definitely. Just some other spots I've been to. But cool.
And you got a gig. You told me off the air you got another gig coming up.
I do, yeah. I'm coming back to Tonic Rooms. I always love playing there. That's similar to Cafe Mustache. It's just a nice, intimate room. So I'll be there on the 29th, another Wednesday, with a full band. It's going to be acoustic today.
Right.
And it'll be a full band on the 29th.
On the 29th. It's going to be great. A Tonic Room.
Yes.
And you have a website?
I do have a website. It's redbaronmusic.weebly.com. It's kind of a working website.
Okay.
In the middle of creating a... Before the release, doing
okay, like but you're Jacob album. Tage Music at Jacob Tage Music for your Twitter handle if people want to.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't really use Twitter. Instagram is probably the best way to get a hold
Instagram?
Of me.
Instagram, okay,
yeah, at Jacob_Tage.
Okay, and it's TAGE.
Yeah,
TAGE.
Yes,
if everybody wants to follow along. All right, what's the first song we're gonna hear? Tell me about it. Is it?
Oh, I guess we've been doing some rock and roll, so I'm gonna do a little song about like you know how you're trying really hard to you know you're a young adult and you want to take care of yourself. But love finds a way to interrupt you, and it's kind of just about accepting that that's the case. It's like, hey, I'm a person doing my own thing, you're a person doing your own thing, and you caught me, dang it.
Okay.
So that's kind of that song.
What's the name of it?
It's called Shipwright, One Who Builds Ships.
Got it.
Yeah. That's
all right, everybody, Jacob Tage.
Here we go. I want to stand among 2 feet before I fall in love. I swore myself off of that stuff, but then you came along. Been working, been moving, been sorting, been stewing. Spent money, spent time, spent pieces of myself on the climb. But I'm not there yet. Yes, I can see. I wanna stand among 2 feet before I fall in love. Off of that stuff, but then you came along. Now we've been talking all casual, been dodging, been busy. Man, and I'm not trying to lose my head, 'cause I'm not there yet. Is that gonna be enough?
Man.
Thanks.
Yeah. Real good. Real good. All right. So that is Jacob Tage, everybody. And at the Montrose Saloon tonight. And was that about a particular person, that song?
Sort of. You know, a lot of the times, like, a person inspires a muse, and then you kind of, like, follow the feeling down. It's not really about the person it was.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it definitely was inspired by a person.
But, it, yeah.
Became more about a larger thing.
Larger thing. Okay, cool. Hang on, man. We're going to take a break.
Cool.
All right, when we come back, Jacob Tage is with us. You can see him at Montrose Saloon tonight, 2933 West Montrose, right there. And it's no cover. So come on down. We're going to come back, talk more with Jacob, and then hear another song right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Coming up after the 2 o'clock news, Sandy Price is going to join us. She is the executive director of the Rogers Park Business Alliance. They're having a Secret Garden Gala to raise money for the Glenwood Sunday Market. That's the Rogers Park Farmers Market. That comes back on June 2nd and will be happening every Sunday through October 27th. And it's on Glenwood Avenue between Morris and Lunt. And the Secret Garden Gala is this Saturday. And we'll give you all the details on how you can go. And raising money for a really, really good cause. And we're going to talk to her about that. That's coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. Jacob Tage is with us. And he's playing tonight at the Montrose Saloon, 2933 West Montrose. You can check out montrosesaloon.com. There is no cover. You were talking about the recording process. Have you toured around? Like, have you played in a lot of other cities?
I've definitely like played some engagements in other cities, but like, yeah. A full blown tour is something that just hasn't happened yet. The right project hasn't come to fruition. So that's definitely happening shortly, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Be out on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to be exhausted, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I hear.
I've talked to a lot of musicians, and some people love it, and some people can slog through it. And after a while, like, if you're not going to be in a big band or anything, you don't have to worry about getting along with a bunch of guys in a van.
Yeah. I'm the boss.
Yeah. Know? Exactly. So you're all set right there. So we were talking a little bit off the air. You came to Chicago 5 years ago.
Yeah, I came fresh from school, right out of Milliken, and then I got a coffee job and a sound job, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. So what? And outside of what else do you do besides music?
I mean, that's my income. I definitely like recently picked up a part time job, but like, I mean, I definitely teach music part time. But yeah, that's
is that fun? Teaching?
I love it, man. It's cool. You know, I do that, and I only do it 15 hours a week, so. Between that and, you know, gigs left and right, it's just it's a really cool thing. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And the record is coming out, as you said, and you're going to start releasing singles in June.
Yeah, June's the trajectory for sure. We'll have an official date shortly.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So what are some of your favorite albums that you just adore, some of your favorites?
Sure. So, I mean, that changes all the time. But, I mean, I guess I'll go, like, classic and say I love Nevermind as a kid. I mean, that's kind of a weak answer, but, like, you know.
No.
That's consistent. Like,
yeah.
What, you know, that's changing. Like, right now, I love Black Messiah by D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, will that be my favorite record in 5 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so it's always changing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love that record. I loved Hiatus Coyote's most recent release, Choose Your Weapon, was really cool. It's like this crazy funk hip hop. I don't even know, from Australia.
Yeah, so from Australia.
Yeah, they're wild, man. You should definitely check them out.
Oh, cool. Cool. I always ask two questions to musicians when I have them in here. And the first one is, what was the first album you ever bought?
First, Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
There you go, man.
Yep.
You know what I love about AC/DC? Besides everything, is that Highway to Hell and all of their albums, there is just a minute break between each song. Because when I used to have it on vinyl, it would just like, boom, they would go right. It's rapid fire. Song, 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 song. You know.
I never thought about that.
There's not a lot of
spot on. It just keeps you.
Yeah. And on the album, you know, the actual physical vinyl album, not a whole lot of unused vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all of it.
Yeah. So that's a good one. So Highway to Hell. All right. Mine was Paranoid, Black Sabbath.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
First concert you ever went to?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the first concert I ever went to was a Brooks and Dunn concert with my friend Brian.
Okay.
He took me, but I mean, My first concert I quote unquote felt like I went to was a Motley Crue concert, which I don't know which is better now that I'm an adult. So Brooks and Dunn / Motley Crue.
Right.
I've done better since.
And what Motley Crue, what era are we talking
Man,
about?
Man, we're talking Carnival of Sins tour.
Oh,
we're talking
yeah.
like big tent. Clowns with water
yeah.
guns, crazy dancing ladies. It's probably questionable then, let alone now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, you know, if you're out there doing your thing and you're supporting yourself, you know, all the more power to you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a wild.
My first ride. Concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. You familiar
okay.
with Black Oak, Arkansas?
No, I'm not.
Jim Dandy to the rescue. You know that song?
No.
Okay.
I want to hear it, though.
But the opening act was Bad Company.
Okay.
Before
yeah.
anybody knew who Bad Company was.
Awesome.
And it was great. It was really, really great. So, all right. I always ask those questions. So, again, tonight, no cover, 8 o'clock, Montrose Saloon, 2933 West Montrose, Jacob Tage. All right. Let's hear one more song before we get you out of here.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll do you a little soul song.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
All right.
Gotta keep it family friendly.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, being a rascal like most Pearsons. What can I say?
All right.
Where did you come from? Sneaking up on me. A charm so familiar. Let me keep your company. Pull out all the stops. Shed carpet on my living room. Is that gonna stop you, baby? Are we still cool? Let's get with it, sugar. You and me. That is the equation. Speaking candidly. Speaking candidly. How'd I never see that? You were standing right near me. And aside from that judgment lapse, all you've done for me. And I'm not too proud to show what a fool I've been, and so I'm able, baby. Let's take it home. When we're gonna make it about a more than fantasy, I would surely take it if you gave your heart to me. Yes, I'm pulling out all the stops. How about that shed carpet on my living room? Ooh, not lovely at all, now, darling. Are we still cool? Let's get with it, sugar, you and me. That is the equation. Speaking candidly. Speaking candidly. Let's get with it, sugar, you and me. That is the equation. Speaking candidly. Speaking candidly.
It's great, man. You got a great voice, dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you have a really great voice. Tell me about that guitar you got there.
Oh, this is actually my buddy's guitar. It's his dad's guitar. From the 70s.
Yeah.
So he's very much trusted me with it, and mine's broken right now, so I'm a little sheepish about bringing it here today, but, you know, love of necessity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really nice model.
It looks like a vintage.
It's a 70s Vox.
Yeah.
It's a very neat guy. So, yeah, I'm trying to be careful with it. I'm very anxious.
Yeah. But, you know. It's your buddy's. Well, that's good for your buddy. Want to give your buddy a shout out?
Yeah, yeah. Greg Woods. He's actually got a great record called Hello that he recorded here in Chicago with a bunch of fabulous Chicago musicians. Ben Joseph, Packy Lundholm as well, Noam Wallenberg, Jen Hall, a lot of great people.
Very cool.
So, yeah, definitely check out Hello. He also has another one called Goodbye and Later On, made in Nashville with our Milliken friends.
Cool. All right, man. Thanks for coming down. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Jacob Tage, you can see him tonight at Montrose Saloon, 2933 West Montrose, montrosesaloon.com, and Tonic Room again 29th, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Tonic Room on the 29th. You can see him, and there you go. You can check him out on Instagram. It's the best way to stay connected, and there you go. Nice to meet you, man. Nice job.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. That's any artist, anything, any song. 312-981-7200. Wildcard Wednesday, 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to pay tribute to the great Tim Conway and listen to some audio from some of the highlights of the Carol Burnett Show from the past. And then we're going to talk about some essential TV comedies connected off of that conversation we're going to have about Tim Conway. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are here until 5 a.m. There you go. My next guest is from the Rogers Park Business Alliance and celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Rogers Park Farmers Market. That's the Glenwood Sunday Market. And it starts on Sunday, June 2nd. It's on Sundays from June 2nd to October 27th. And they also have an initiative support their food access program, which provides $20,000 in fresh food annually for individuals in need. And there's even more reason to go because they have a new initiative called Giving Sunday, which we'll talk about. And to kick the whole thing off, to celebrate the 10th anniversary, there's going to be a Secret Garden Gala, which is a formal night of food, drinks, dancing, and it benefits local, benefiting local farmers market. And that's this Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. We'll give you all the details on that. But I want to welcome Sandy Price to the show. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for having me.
All right. Give me a little background on you. How long have you been part? You're the executive director of the Rogers Park Business Alliance. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with that.
I am, sure. I started working in the nonprofit world in Rogers Park about 22 years ago. And about 17 years ago, I got hired on as an associate director at the Rogers Park Business Alliance. And about 5 years ago, I became the executive director. So I've been doing nonprofit work in Rogers Park for a real long time.
How long have you lived in Rogers Park?
I actually live in West Ridge, which is just a little bit just a little bit west of there, and I've been here for 32 years.
Wow. Yeah. I've spent a significant amount of time in Rogers Park. I used to be a part of the Factory Theater.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, I was the artistic director for many years when we were on Loyola, and now they're up right by the Howard stop.
Yes, they're back in Rogers Park. They came back to their home.
That's exactly right. I was with them for about 14 years. I was with that company. And some of my dear friends are still there, and they love being back in Rogers Park. They absolutely
love it. And we love having them there.
That's cool.
There are a couple of theaters now on Howard Street, so it's a great area, and it's becoming a great arts community.
Absolutely. No question about it. I love that neighborhood. Always have, Sandy. Always loved Rogers Park.
I'm glad to hear it. Me too.
So, first of all, I want to talk about the Glenwood Sunday Market, which is coming back for its 10th season. Let's talk about this gala that people can come to on Saturday. Tell everybody about what this is all about and where it is and all the details.
Sure. So it's this Saturday, as you said, May 18th. We're having a VIP cocktail reception from 6 p.m. to 7, and then at 7 o'clock is the gala. It's at the Hampton Inn on Albion and Sheridan Road.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that it will be on the rooftop, but weather permitting.
You know what? Right before we started this interview, I was looking at the 7-day forecast, and oh, man, it's supposed to be a wet one for the next few days after Thursday.
Well, and it's supposed to get warmer on Saturday, but we're right by the lake because it's right by Loyola and Sheridan Road.
Yeah.
So we do have a plan B, and there's a beautiful lobby area that we will use if we can't get out on the rooftop.
Okay.
So it's a, you know, rain or shine, it'll be inside. Don't worry about getting wet. If it's going to be wet out, we'll just move inside. And it's a fundraiser to raise money for food access programs. So we've been doing this for quite a few years now, where link shoppers can come and swipe their link cards. They get a double-double match, we call it. So if they swipe their link card for $25, and they can do it every week, they get an additional $25 to spend at the farmer's market in general on food, anything that they would normally use their link card for, and then they get an additional match of $25 to spend on produce. So for their $25 in link dollars, they can spend $75 at the farmer's market.
Oh, that's great. That's really, and really great.
It's amazing, but we have to raise money to get money.
Yeah.
So it's a matching grant program through LinkUp Illinois, and we have to raise $10,000 to get them to match that $10,000. So that's what this gala is all about, is raising that $10,000.
Okay. Well, good. It's for a great cause then. How long has the food access program been around?
It's been around for about 5 or 6 years. It's been around the entire 10 years, but in this form for the last 5 or 6 years. When we started the farmers market 10 years ago, we knew that it's an all organic farmers market, and that people who are insecure in their food insecure can't. They don't shop at farmers markets because it's just too expensive.
Right.
They don't buy organic. And so we started a program at the time. It was called Market for All. It's kind of evolved a little bit, but just because it should be a farmers market for everyone who lives in the community.
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to shop there no matter what their situation.
And what's going to be happening at the gala? What can people expect?
Well, at the gala, there will be food, what we're calling heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Uh-huh.
An open bar, a live auction, music, dancing, silent auction, and a lot of great networking with a lot of great people.
Okay. And the tickets are available, correct?
Tickets are available. You can go to our website, either rpba.org is the Rogers Park Business Alliance's website, or the Glenwood Sunday Market has its own website. It's glenwoodsundaymarket.org. We try to keep it simple.
Okay. And
you can buy tickets there online.
And it's $75 per person for the gala from 7 to 10. And there are tickets available for $125, which includes the VIP cocktail hour from 6 to 7.
Correct.
Right.
So the $125 tickets get you both from 6 to 10.
That's right. And there's going to be hors d'oeuvres provided by Bricks Catering.
Yes.
Entertainment by the Fumi Gypsy Project.
Right.
And interactive dance lessons from the Glenwood Dance Studio. What interactive dance lessons? That sounds like it's going to be a blast.
It should be. The Glenwood Dance Studio, they're right around the corner from our office, and they do all kinds of interpretive dance and that kind of stuff. Very free-flowing. It's a great organization.
And also, there's going to be a live auction, and you've got donors from Fiber Embellishments. Chicago Dogs, which they're getting to be a pretty big deal now because Carlos Zambrano is back in Chicago.
Right,
he's as a Chicago Dog,
and their season just opened this week, I think.
Yeah. So
they'll be that's all going to be part of the auction.
Oh, that's part of the auction. Okay, it sounds like a great night.
Right.
And you're looking to raise $10,000. Last year you provided $20,000 in fresh food to these individuals from the food access program. You want to continue to do that this year. So, people should come out to the gala.
Exactly. And, you know, your donation, think of it as a double match, because every dollar that we raise at this event, we're going to get it matched through this grant from LinkUp Illinois.
Okay. And for people who aren't familiar with the term, what is food scarcity?
Sure. A lot of people who just can't afford the healthy food that we all should be eating.
Yeah.
You know, we learned from doing this program that some of our Chicago public schools, the families in our Chicago public schools, don't eat produce on a regular basis. I think we take it for granted. We eat fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, every day.
Yeah.
And there are people in our community who don't have that luxury. They can't afford to buy fresh produce and eat it and feed their children.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is, and that's what you're trying to wipe out, pretty much. And
correct.
Exactly. And then the Glenwood Sunday Market opens on June 2nd, celebrating its 10th anniversary. How did the market get started?
The market got started by a couple of folks. It was actually one of our staff at the time who had been in Europe and saw these French markets out on the street and said, why can't we do that here? Why can't we just have, you know, a market where people come and outdoors? It's a great gathering place. And it started 10 years ago. We actually, it was about 12 years ago was when we started planning it. We planned everything for 18 months before we opened the market, so that it is a well-oiled machine. And our market is a little bit different than some of the other markets you might find in the city of Chicago. We don't sell products. You won't find jewelry. You won't find clothing or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
Everything is food-based.
Yeah.
Everything is local, so it's within 200 miles of the 60626 zip code area. All of our farmers are close by. And so, for that matter, you also won't find, you know, avocados at our farmer's market. People come sometimes and say, you know, where are the avocados?
Yeah.
Well, those aren't grown locally. So you're not going to get them at our farmer's market.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, listen, Sandy, hang on, okay? There's more I want to talk to you about, okay?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Sandy Price is with us. She is the Rogers Park Business Alliance Executive Director. They have a Secret Garden Gala this Saturday. We'll give you the information again in a little bit. And the Glenwood Sunday Market, which is a Rogers Park Farmers Market, it returns for its 10th season starting on June 2nd every Sunday. All right, we'll take a break, talk more with Sandy right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 o'clock. It's Wildcard Wednesday. That means any artist, any song, anything. We'll play those a little bit later. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to pay tribute to the hilarious Tim Conway, who passed away yesterday at the age of 85. And we're going to talk about some essential TV comedy. And much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. My guest right now is Sandy Price. She is the executive director at Rogers Park Business Alliance. They have a Secret Garden Gala, which is to benefit the Glenwood Sunday Market. And the Glenwood Sunday Market is the Rogers Park Farmers Market that starts on June 2nd. And let's welcome Sandy back. Sandy, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Why is it so important to you guys to try to explain to everybody why it's so important to buy locally and to have these providers within only 200 miles?
Sure. So when we started the farmers market, you know, there are a lot of farms that are near us, including in more recent years, urban farms. And we want to support our farmers, and obviously we want to support the ones that are closest to us, because if we don't support them, who will? So we try to support locally grown produce and support the farmers that are closest to us. It's always been a focus of the Rogers Park Business Alliance to shop local, small, independent businesses,
yeah.
Right? You hear that a lot. You hear a lot of shop small, shop local, shop. And it's the same thing with the farmers. They may not be around the corner, but they're still as close as we get.
Yeah. And how did these farmers get involved, and how did you find some of these people who are participating?
We reached out. We do a request for farmers, a request for vendors. So now they find us.
Uh-huh.
We have an application process. They have to apply to the market. Our market is curated, so we don't want to have too many bakeries or too many of one type of food, because then the farmers or the vendors that are there are not going to sell, you know, as much product as they want to. So we want to make sure that it's a well-balanced market. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we have food there that our customers want to buy, obviously. And so we have several farmers that sell different things. We have one of our farmers is has an apple orchard and a blueberry farm, and so we have just the fruit vendors, we have just the vegetable vendors, and then we want our vendors who serve prepared foods like the bakeries also to be small, independent, local bakeries.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, tell everybody about Giving Sunday. This did once a month during the run of the farmers market, the Glenwood Farmers Market. But first of all, actually, tell everybody where the farmers market is so they know where to go.
Sure. Our farmers market is in Rogers Park, obviously. It is on Glenwood Avenue. It is between Lunt and Morse, which is about 6900 North on Glenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one Sunday a month that it moves a block, and that's during Pride, because Pride uses the block that we're normally on.
Yeah.
Although they set up after we're done, but it's just easier for them to set up. So we move one block south during that week.
Okay.
But otherwise, we run June 2nd through October 27th. And what you had started talking about was Giving Sunday.
Yeah.
It's something new that we're doing this year, and we're doing it one day a month, where our farmers market is run by a council of volunteers, as well as we do have a couple of paid staff. And the volunteers want to be out there asking for donations for the food access program. So while we do this big gala and we raise a lot of money, the more money we raise, the more money we give away. So they want to be out there asking people who come to the markets just once a month if they'd be willing to maybe, you know, put their change in a jar, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that money will also go to this double match program for Link shoppers.
That's great. I know you guys have served 40,000 shoppers annually, which is really amazing. And people come from all over
People do. They come from all over. We have one gentleman who lives in Lincoln Park, and he walks his dog to the farmer's market every Sunday.
All the way from Lincoln Park?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, just right. Right. Every Sunday, walks his dog. They go for a nice walk, get a couple things, and walk back home, whatever he can carry.
That's
nice.
That's really nice. That's really very, very, very cool. Again, and it's going to help out this the new thing that you guys are trying out Giving Sunday.
The Giving Sunday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's going to be, I got the dates here. It's the 16th of June, 14th of July, 11th of August, 15th of September, and October 13th. Those are the Giving Sunday days if you want to give on those days as well. And the hours are from 9 to 2, right? 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Sunday.
Okay, there you go. Well, one more time, the Secret Garden Gala is this Saturday night, and it is at the Hampton Inn in Chicago at 1209 Albion. And it benefits the Glenwood Sunday Market, and you should all go get your tickets now. They're available. It's $75 per person for the gala from 7 to 10 p.m. There's $125. It includes VIP cocktail hour from 6 to 7. There's going to be hors d'oeuvres. There's going to be an open bar, live auction, music, dancing, and much, much more. You can go to GlenwoodSundayMarket.org for more information. GlenwoodSundayMarket.org for tickets and more information. Sandy, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck. I hope you raise a ton of money, and maybe I'll see you out at the Sunday market sometime.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
We really appreciate it, and I'll be there on Saturday. So anybody who buys their tickets after hearing this, come find me.
Okay, great. All right, Sandy, thanks very much.
All right, thank you, Nick.
Okay, take care. There you go. Sandy Price, Rogers Park Business Alliance Executive Director. Great neighborhood, Rogers Park. Always been one of my favorite places to hang out. And the Glenwood Sunday Market is every Sunday starting June 2nd going through October 27th. And that's Glenwood Avenue between Morris and Lunt. And then the Secret Garden Gala is this Saturday at the Hampton Inn North at 1209 West Albion. You can get your tickets there as well for that. Go out, support these guys. They're trying to raise a lot of money and get some food to people who really, really need it. It's for a great cause, and it's a great neighborhood. So my thanks to Sandy Price for joining us. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back after this on 720 WGN.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk about essential TV comedies in a bunch of different categories. Family comedies, sketch comedy shows, late night shows. What are the funniest? What are essential TV comedies? And we'll jump into that a little bit. And the reason why we're going to do that is because we're going to talk about one of the great comedy legends of all time right now who passed away, and that's Tim Conway. We're going to talk about him. We want to hear from you guys about your favorite Tim Conway moments or memories or the funniest things that that you remember from Tim Conway. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. It is Wildcard Wednesday. You be Wildcard Wednesday! And that was our first Wildcard Wednesday request. Who requested that one?
That was Sam. Wanted to hear Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Urge Overkill.
That's right. All righty then. Hey, by the way, we're also going to play a round of Know Your Onion. Tom will quiz you. We'll have two callers come in separately. You call up 312-981-7200. Get in here. And if you can tell, Tom's going to read you some news headlines, and you have to tell whether it's a real news headline or an onion headline. The Onion, of course, being a satirical newspaper that writes fake and funny news stories. And but the news is so weird. The real news is so weird nowadays that it's hard to tell whether it's a real headline or an onion headline. So you call in. Tom will read them off to you. You say either real or onion. And if you get a majority of them, you get a pretty cool prize. And we'll tell you all about that a little bit later on. So we'll do another round of Know Your Onion later in the show. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Talk and text lines are open. And we are remembering Tim Conway. 312-981-7200. This was from the MeTV website a little bit earlier. Where does one start with Tim Conway? It's impossible to pick his funniest performance. Measuring the laughter he induced and some astronomical math. On the Carol Burnett Show, he crafted brilliant characters like the oldest man and Mr. Tudball. And then there was the inept dentist who kept injecting himself with Novocaine. Those who were fortunate enough to grow up in black and white TV days, as he was a soapy, dopey second in command, Ensign Parker on McHale's Navy. Or rewinding the clock back a few further, how about some sketch comedy work that he did on the Steve Allen Show in the early 60s? And then there's more, so much more. It's a Generation X. Conway was the comedic foil to Don Knotts in the Apple Dumpling Gang films and a few others. Or Dorf, the diminutive doofus who taught golf. He also meant something to millennials who knew Conway as Barnacle Boy in SpongeBob SquarePants, which reteamed the comedian with his old McHale's Navy co-star and pal Ernest Borgnine. In short, Conway was a giant 20th century television, one of the funniest men to ever appear on the small screen. Oddly, networks tried several times to cast Conway in his own vehicle, from The Tim Conway Show in 1970 to The Tim Conway Show in 1980 to Ace Crawford Private Eye in 1983. All of them failed to find an audience. Blame the circumstances, blame the competition. There is no knock on his resume. God, I remember Ace Crawford Private Eye. I totally remember that. I believe I was in high school when that was on, and I thought that show was hilarious. Born in Ohio and raised in Chagrin Falls, a wonderfully named suburb for a burgeoning comedian, Conway began his career on local television in Cleveland. One of his early gigs was playing sidekick to Goulardi. You know who Goulardi is, right?
Yeah, the horror host.
Yeah, you know who he is actually.
No. Wait, who's Goulardi?
He's P.T. Anderson's dad.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
That's Paul Thomas Anderson's dad. His production company is called Goulardi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His dad was a famous voiceover guy who also played Goulardi because he's from. He was born in Cleveland. Paul Thomas Anderson was born in Cleveland, and then raised in L.A. Spent most of his time raised in L.A. And that's why so many of his earlier movies were so L.A. bound. But yeah, I'm trying to remember his dad's name. If you just Google Goulardi, why am I blanking on his name? But anyway, he was a legendary voiceover.
Ernie Anderson.
Ernie Anderson. That's right. So Ernie Anderson.
Oh my God.
He was Goulardi, and then he was a legendary voiceover guy in L.A. And he sounds exactly like when you hear him, because he used to do the voiceover on America's Funniest Home Videos. He was the voiceover guy on America's Funniest Home Videos, as well as other lots of promotional stuff on ABC, like coming up next, this. And he had that kind of voice.
Uh-huh.
And there's a tape out there on the internet that you should try and check out, Tom, because it's outtakes of Ernie Anderson, and he swears like a sailor, and the dialogue sounds exactly like Jason Robards' dialogue in like the insults and stuff sound exactly like Jason. He sounds exactly like Jason Robards in Magnolia. Like his delivery is very, very, very similar.
Right, right, right.
And I mean, clearly
that's the inspiration.
Of course. I mean, you know, Magnolia, obviously a very personal movie because his dad died of cancer and he was at his deathbed and they were on the outs, you know, when he passed away. So, but yeah, no, that's Goulardi. Goulardi.
The only reason I know who Goulardi is because there's an episode of the Drew Carey Show where Drew Carey is wearing a Goulardi shirt.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, who's this?
Cleveland. Yeah. Lots of Cleveland references and obviously in Drew Carey's show.
Cleveland rocks.
Yep. So, yeah, Goulardi. So he was a sidekick to Goulardi. Boy, I bet that was fun to watch.
Oh,
I'd love
God.
To see some of that footage. Yeah. Tim Conway with Ernie Anderson and Goulardi. So that's how he got it on local Cleveland airwaves. It would be Rosemarie of the Dick Van Dyke Show who gave Conway his big break. She was visiting a Cleveland affiliate on a promotional tour when she discovered his talent. Rosemarie pushed Conway to the Steve Allen Show. The rest, as we attempted to summarize his history. Conway would go on to win 5 Emmy Awards for his television work. Amazing. On Tuesday morning, May 14th, 2019, Conway died in Los Angeles, according to The Hollywood Reporter. He was 85. The actor was unable to speak after undergoing brain surgery last fall. He suffered from dementia, which, of course, is just so horrible. And he was such a sharp mind and so funny. It's just sad to see someone go like that. Sad to see him die in any way. And then it says, stay tuned here as MeTV will update you and bring you more on this tragic passing and upcoming programming changes to tribute the true TV legend. So MeTV is going to be showing a bunch of Tim Conway stuff. As I think a lot of local shows are going to be doing.
Yeah, the scheduling announcement is that all next week. They're going to be showing special episodes of the Carol Burnett Show at 11 p.m. 10 Central. So at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
All next week.
And I'm sure that Mrs. Wiggins will be part of it. I'm sure the old man will be part of it. I'm sure that the dentist bit, which is just so brilliant. We can't really play that. We can play a bit of the dentist bit, but it's just very visual because it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's him, you know, Novocaine, sticking Novocaine in different parts of his body and then losing feeling. And it's just Harvey Korman laughing his ass off the whole time. And it's just such a brilliant piece.
Yeah, it's so funny leading. It's very funny leading up to it. But the minute the Novocaine happens,
it just
elevates it to an amazing level of comedy.
And the, you know, everybody who grew up in the 70s, like me, I mean, like I said, my Saturday nights, my parents and I would go out to our friend's house. They lived in Stickney, so we would drive out to Stickney, and they would play cards. They would all play cards. You know, this was in the 70s. They would play cards and, like, drink beer and stuff and gamble. And I would be in the living room watching Saturday night. This was every Saturday night, watching a Saturday night CBS lineup. And it always ended with Carol Burnett. And I just hilarious. Carol Burnett was just absolutely hilarious. And my favorite person on the show was Tim Conway. And I loved Harvey Korman, too. And when they worked together, here, you know, this is really what I love about this is that you know, the whole breaking thing, I happen to like it when people break on TV, you know, and on stage, because I'm terrible as an actor. I'm terrible. And I break, I would, and in lots of shows, I would have to like bite my tongue or look away to not break, because I enjoy, you know, watching the performances of the people that I'm on stage with. And if they're really funny, I'm going to, you know, I'm a terrible actor, so I'm going to laugh. And so breaking became kind of a fun thing because of Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. Some of the most classic bits in the history of the Carol Burnett Show involve Harvey Korman breaking and Tim Conway breaking. And it became like a fun thing and a very cool thing. Some of my favorite memories of being on stage involve me breaking or other people breaking on stage. Yeah, I would have to like turn away. You have the DVD. Have you watched Among the Dead?
Yeah.
Did you notice the moment when I just lose it? Mm-hmm. I had to turn completely upstage.
Yeah.
I couldn't even function. I had to turn and a couple of other people. I mean, I'm gone. And in that scene, yeah. I turn completely upstage. My back is to the audience, and I'm just like losing it. And I remember that night specifically because Mark Montgomery was on fire that night. He was just hilarious, and so his line that he says I can't say on the air. But then, you know, and then when you hear the audience laughing because you're laughing, that adds to the laughter. I mean, take a look back at the first time that SNL did Debbie Downer. The first Debbie Downer with Lindsay Lohan was a disaster, but one of the funniest things ever. And, you know, I've talked about this before on the air, but Rachel Dratch was mad because Horatio Sanz and Jimmy Fallon, who were notorious for just like breaking each other up like idiots every week, during Dress, when they did Debbie Downer, the first Debbie Downer during Dress, they broke and like broke during the scene. And, you know, and so Rachel Dratch was like, you guys better not ruin this scene. And then she's the one who breaks. She's the first one to lose it, and loses it the worst of anybody on that stage. And it was hilarious. Yeah. It was absolutely hilarious.
The I can't have children.
Oh, it's well.
Line is just.
It's official. I can't have children. Lindsay Lohan walked off stage. She just walked off stage. One of my favorite moments is Horatio Sanz is laughing so hard. He's crying. He's like crying. And at one point, he uses the waffles that they were eating to dry his tears. But I mean, just that's funny, and that I trace that back to Tim Conway, man. Trace that back to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. It was fantastic. It was just great to watch those guys. And we've got some audio that we're going to play from some of the classic bits, including we're going to play the whole elephant story from the Mama's Family sketch, which Tim Conway continued to improvise while everybody on stage was losing it. Dick Van Dyke, Vicki Lawrence, Carol Burnett on stage with him during this, and we'll play that in a little bit. Regarding the great 301 area code says, regarding the great Tim Conway, I may be one of the few who even remembers, let alone liked, his short-lived Western comedy TV series called Rango. I'm so sad that he's gone. 773 Ericum says, the almighty and insane Apple Dumpling Gang rule. Rest in peace, Tim Conway. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to remember Tim Conway some more, and we want to hear from you guys. What are your favorite Tim Conway moments and memories? 312-981-7200. We've lost a comic legend. So we're going to celebrate his life and listen to some of the funny stuff that he did on The Carol Burnett Show. All right. We'll take a break. Yeah, Blues Brothers. We got both kinds of music, country and Western. That's another movie I don't like that everybody loves.
You don't like the Blues Brothers?
Love the music. Love the music performances. I think the movie's not very funny.
But it's got one of my favorite insults of all time, or one of my favorite threats, is, you think that's funny, don't you? Well, you're going to look real funny trying to eat corn on the cob with no friggin' teeth.
Right.
That's great.
The great Charles Napier.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Listen, I saw it a bunch of times in the theater because, again, I was, like, you know, obsessed with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, Saturday Night Live. I just didn't think the movie was very funny. I remember, you know, I was kind of disappointed, but I love all the music. I love all the performances. Here's the thing that I love most about that movie is that at that time, Ray Charles had no career. Aretha Franklin had no career. James Brown's career was pretty much done. Nobody was listening to that kind of music. Nobody was. Nobody was. And that movie single-handedly revived their careers and gave a whole new generation a look at these artists.
An appreciation.
John Lee Hooker. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that was, you know, Cab Calloway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a whole new generation of people were turned on to these mostly African-American artists who were being ignored and who were not known by a mainstream audience. So I love the movie for that.
Yeah.
And there are scenes in it that are individually. I think John Candy's great in it. But
about Carrie Fisher as the homicidal girlfriend.
I mean, I love her, but the style of the movie is that they underreact to big things. That's the joke in the movie. It's just underreacting to big things, and it's joke after joke after joke after joke like that. And again, I got a little bit tired of it.
Well, at least it's not Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, my. But again, the performances, the music, the last half hour of that movie at House of Blues is great. Yeah. But it's a horrendous movie. Hey, coming up, the Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Who requested the Blues Brothers?
So they requested Rawhide.
Oh, okay.
And that was David Monroe. So I figured, you know what? I'll go with my favorite when they're sitting behind the chicken wire getting beer thrown at them.
Yeah. We got two kinds. We got both kinds of music here, country and western. All right, let's play this bit. We got a couple of minutes here. We're gonna play this bit. This is one of those one of the classic characters, Mr. Tudball, that the late great Tim Conway. He wore a bad toupee. He was the boss. He had a weird sort of Swedish weird accent. His secretary was Miss Wiggins. And played by Carol Burnett, who was brilliantly funny. And let's play a little audio from one of the classic bits that they did. This involved a new intercom system that Mr. Tudball installed in the office, but clearly Mrs. Wiggins doesn't know how to use it. So here's some of that from this classic skit and a classic character that Tim Conway brought to life. Here we go.
Mrs. Wiggins. Mrs. Huggins, the reason that I pressed that intercom system is to talk to you is because I wanted to see you. I don't mean see you with my eyeballs. I mean see you right in there into that office.
When?
Well, I'm free now if it wasn't in. You sit there now. When I point to you from that room, you stand up. Then I'm going to buzz that buzzer and tell you you got a real important phone call. Now, you understand that?
Yeah, I'm you and you are me.
Very good news there. All right. And don't forget when I point to you.
Yes, I'm Mrs. Wiggins. You guys are really important to phone the call of Mr. Tudball. Who is it?
What do you mean, who is it?
How can I be sure it's important if I don't know who it is? Now find out who it is, Mrs. Wiggins.
No one to ask.
This is a Wiggins. By golly, how many times do I got to tell you to find out who it is before you buzz me on this here doggone intercom?
That's got nothing to do with the Mr. Tudball.
Don't you raise your voice to me, Mrs. Wiggins.
I raise my voice to you if I wanted to, Mr. Tudball.
Okie dokie, this time you gone too far. Mrs. Wiggins, you're fired.
You can't fire me, I quit.
You can get yourself another girl.
There you go. Mrs. Wiggins.
It's the accent that kills me.
It's so
this
funny.
This is Wiggins.
It's brilliant. Tim Conway. We're remembering the great Tim Conway. We got more audio that we're going to play. We want to hear from you guys. What are your favorite, funniest Tim Conway memories? 312-981-7200. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. Yeah, well, Kurt Wednesday. Who requested that?
That was Paul. Let me make sure that. Yep, Paul wanted to hear Pork Chop Express. That's
exactly right.
John Carpenter.
Big Trouble in Little. I'm wearing an Escape from New York t-shirt this morning. It's just the actual island. It's the actual island of Manhattan. Surrounded by the it's the first thing you see in the movie. One of the first things you see in the movie is like what the maximum security prison looks like. It's all of Manhattan. So all right, man, Pork Chop Express. There you go. Wildcard Wednesday, any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200 on WGN. Okay. Tim Conway, a comedy legend, passed away yesterday at the age of 85, and we lost a true comic genius and a true comic giant who was so funny for so many years on television and in the movies. He made a series of movies, as we mentioned, with Don Knotts, two Disney movies called The Apple Dumpling Gang and The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again. But he also did another two that were really, really, really funny. One was called Private Eyes. And it was him and Don Knotts doing like a kind of a Sherlock Holmes and Watson thing. And then the other one was called The Prize Fighter. And they were both really hilarious movies. They were early 80s films. And the Apple Dumpling Gang were late 70s. But The Private Eyes and the Prize Fighter were both early 80s, and they were hilarious. And because he and Don Knotts were fantastic together, they were hilarious together. But you know, most of the work that we remember Tim Conway for involved television. You know, especially on the Carol Burnett Show. If you guys want to jump in here, what are your favorite and your funniest Tim Conway moments and memories? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 262 area code says, "Hey Nick, I love the skit where Harvey's the ship captain and Tim comes in to check on him and saves the day from running into an iceberg by jumping on the wheel and spinning around. And you were saying that you like it when people break up or try to hide their laughter. Oswald on the Drew Carey Show, you could see him, he did that a lot." Okay.
All right.
So some classic bits that Tim Conway was responsible for. And again, like I said, when I was a kid, that's how I spent my Saturday nights, when I just watching all those great CBS shows and then just like being right in front of the TV for the Carol Burnett Show. Yeah. So, and they, you know, later, you know, Harvey Korman and Tim Conway toured a lot. They would just do two man shows, and they came to Chicago a bunch of times. And I have a friend named Dan who used to be a regular contributor to the show, Pupkin. He goes by the name Pupkin. For obvious reasons, one of his favorite movies of all time is King of Comedy, so that's why he goes by the name Pupkin. It's like his internet screen name or whatever. But he used to work at a lot of theaters, including the Auditorium. He was like a spotlight guy. He was a backstage guy. His grandmother had, you know, had a lot of experience in these theaters and worked for the theaters. And so he got, you know, he would be like a stagehand and you know, he worked lights and things like that. Well, he worked the show that Harvey Korman and Tim Conway did. And I guess for each city, they would have to build the box. Each city had to, you know, they didn't tour with the box, but they would have to build with specific instructions. They would have to build the box that Tim Conway would have to stand in to hide the bottom part of his legs, so it looks like he's short, you know. So Dan had to build that box, and so they were testing it out during rehearsal, And Tim Conway was very, very nice and very funny, and the box worked out fine, and everything was cool. He was able to fall backwards, you know, like do the door, do the forward stuff and the backward stuff, the dwarf stuff, and perfectly. So the box was meant, you know, did well with the specifications, and he said that they were very nice. And his favorite moment was he didn't know how Harvey Korman was going to react, but he was walking. He was like sort of just walking past Harvey Korman, and he goes, "Hey, Hetty." And without a beat, Harvey Korman went, "Hedley." And so my friend Dan was like beside himself. He's like, I can't believe that. He just without a beat. He goes, "Hey, Hetty, Hedley." For those of you who don't know, that's from Blazing Saddles. Because his name is Hedley Lamarr Blazing Saddles.
It took me forever to get that joke.
Yeah, if you don't know who Hedley Lamarr is, you know, not from your generation, not even from my generation. I remember Hedley Lamarr. But what's funny was, like, they also acknowledge it in the movie. Who knows? It's 18-something. She's not, you know.
Yeah.
What's she going to do, sue us? That's my favorite. That's my favorite Mel Brooks movie, Blazing Saddles. It's my favorite. Okay. All right, so we're talking about Tim Conway. And let me set this up real quick. You know the TV show Mama's Family? That's a sitcom that was actually spun off from sketches that they would do on the Carol Burnett Show. And then it became its own sitcom and was very, very successful for Vicki Lawrence and the rest of the cast. But that used to be just a recurring characters that they did on the Carol Burnett Show. So one night during the sketch... There were a lot of sketches involving the Mama's Family where they were trying to play a board game. It was like they would do a whole sketch about them trying to play Monopoly or any something like that. So there here is another one of these examples where they're trying to play like a quiz board game thing. So it's Mama, played by Vicki Lawrence. It's Eunice, played by Carol Burnett. And then Dick Van Dyke was the guest star. Dick Van Dyke was there. And Tim Conway was there. So they're trying to play this game. But Tim Conway decides that he's going to improvise this very elaborate, ridiculous story about an elephant. And you're going to hear it, but picture like everybody else on stage, like just like, and Carol Burnett especially, just trying not to laugh, like hiding their face. As this story goes on and gets weirder and weirder, the people holding their laughs in on stage... Dick Van Dyke, Vicki Lawrence actually does a great job of not laughing. Vicki Lawrence keeps a pretty straight face during this scene. Carol Burnett's losing it. Dick Van Dyke is losing it as Tim Conway tells this ridiculous story about the elephant. This is sort of one of the classic moments that was on the Carol Burnett Show. So here it is.
This elephant had this little dwarf trainer and. Put a little ballerina skirt on that elephant. I'd go around in a circle and he'd like that. That's why I thought it was so laughable at the time. There's a rumor going around the circus that dwarf and the elephant were lovers. Oh, they had to shoot the elephant. I don't know whether it's because of rumor or not, but they're buried together. Tombstone. Guess it's not elephants, huh?
No.
Just a I was at this freak show one time, and I saw these Siamese elephants. Joined at the end. They was joined at the end of their trunks like that. And this trainer would make them stand up on their back feet like that, and they had their trunks stretched like that. Then this little monkey would come out. There and dance a merengue right out there. I kind of felt sorry for them. They couldn't go like the other elephants when they go. All they could do is just blow and go.
North.
One that sneezes, the other's eyes get real big.
All right. She said, "Are you sure that little a-hole is through?" And she was quiet the whole time. And it's just so hilarious to watch. And then when she says that, everybody falls on the floor. Like Dick Van Dyke falls off the couch. Tim Conway falls on the floor. That's just classic. And Vicki Lawrence delivering that so beautifully. So funny. All right, let's take a quick break. We got a little bit more audio to play here. We're going to play a little bit of the dentist, the famous dentist sketch. Because that's mostly visual, but we'll get the setup and just, you know, he and Harvey Korman working so well together. If you guys want to jump in here, we're talking about Tim Conway, and if you have any memories, your favorite funny memories of Tim Conway, your favorite moments. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday.
Continues. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was coming to us from the 773.
Okay. All right. So there you go. And that's Wild Card Wednesday. Continue. We're talking about Tim Conway, and then after the 3:30 news, we are going to jump into an article that was put out by Vulture.com called 100 Essential TV Comedies. And it splits them into different categories because we're talking about Tim Conway, who was a major cast member and a major contributor to The Carol Burnett Show, which is without question one of the most essential TV comedies of all time. And it's split up into different categories, and we're going to go through some of the funny stuff. We're going to talk some really, really funny stuff, essential comedies that were on TV. And so we're going to do that after we finish up talking about Tim Conway. And I hope to hear from you guys if you want to share any of your Tim Conway moments or memories. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Okay, we got a little bit of the dentist bit. This is one of those classic bits that Harvey Korman barely survived getting through it without losing his mind. This is Harvey Korman goes to the dentist. The dentist is played by Tim Conway, and he's not a very good dentist. And at one point, the bit builds up where he starts to inject himself with Novocaine mistakenly in different parts of his body. And Tim Conway was so great and so adept at physical comedy that it just goes on, and Harvey Korman just could not keep it together. And this was, you know, as we talked about before, when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman worked together on the Carol Burnett Show, there was a lot of Harvey Korman just laughing, just flat out breaking and laughing at the stuff that Tim Conway did. This is one of those examples. Now, you won't be able to see it, obviously, but I highly recommend, because all this stuff is on YouTube. If you want to go down a wormhole and watch some of the funniest things you will ever see, and you want to look back at the great brilliance of Tim Conway and how well he worked with Harvey Korman, go to YouTube, do yourself a favor, and look at these things. We're going to play a little bit of the setup here. This is from one of the most infamous sketches that went haywire for Harvey Korman, at least, and this was the dentist sketch from Carol Burnett.
Hello, doctor. Well, that'll be $20. $20, you haven't done anything yet. 15, maybe. Look, doctor, please listen to me. I have a terrible toothache. I am in terrible pain. I want you to do something to stop the pain. Either fill the tooth or pull it. Oh, gosh. C's. C's? Yeah, see, in dental school, in filling and pulling, I only got C's. That was just kind of an average grade. I got A's in cleaning, though. You want me to clean it for you? Will it stop the pain? No, but it'll look great. Boy, I can polish it right up. Give me the C's. Give me the C's.
C's. Oh, boy. Gosh, well,
I cheated on my final. And besides, I had mononucleosis the last semester, so I didn't get a chance to work on people like the other guys, so most of my work was just done with animals.
I don't care about animals. Just please fix this tooth.
Yeah, but it isn't the same working on animals and people.
Doctor, I don't care. Please, I'm in terrible pain.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, I just give it a try.
What's this?
It's a doggy treat. You want to go outside for a while?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good boy. Good boy. Okay.
Please, doctor, please do something about this tooth.
Yeah, right.
Let's get this tooth out of my mouth.
All right.
Now.
Well, let's see now. If we're going to pull her out, we'll have to have those pulley things. The pulleys and, let's see, pinchy things and the little picky things. There. Pinchy, picky, pulley. See, I'll get my manual just a minute on that. All right, here. Okay, now, let's see, you want to pull your tooth out. P. 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 U. P. U. L. P. U. L. L. Pull tooth. T. 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 O. T. O. O. T. O. T. O. T. H. We are. Pull your tooth out. Boy, this is going to hurt.
Doctor, if it's going to hurt, please give me something to kill the pain.
Yeah, okay, well, got some Novocaine right here. Just hold on that, man. Let's see how this works here. Okay, Novocaine. Here we are, Novocaine. Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle. Right. There'll be a little bit of pain, and then numbness will set in.
And then from there, you have to see it. He injects himself in both hands at one point in his leg. And Harvey Korman is just in the dentist chair, just losing it. And it's classic. It's one of those classic moments. So Tim Conway passed away, and rest in peace. And he was, you know, a comedy legend, and I loved him. You know, grew up watching him every Saturday night, and I know a lot of people out there did too. And he was just a true comic and television icon and a television classic. And speaking of television, after the news, we are going to talk about essential TV comedies. Vulture.com. put together this this list here, a group of essential TV comedies, and they put them under, they organized them under different, you know, different categories and different genres. So it's just whatever you think is essential TV comedy, whatever genre, wherever it falls, we want to hear from you. Essential TV comedies, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And then a little bit later on, after the 4:30 news, we are going to jump into another edition of Know Your Onion, where you have to know the difference between a real news headline and an onion news headline. All right, we'll break, and then it's time to talk essential TV comedies right after the news, which is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Wildcard Wednesday. You're big Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything? Who requested that?
That was Scott from Streamwood. Wanted to hear the theme from McHale's Navy.
That's right, in honor of the late, great Tim Conway. All right, for Wildcard Wednesday. We were just talking about Tim Conway, a comedy giant and a legend. We were listening back to some of the funnier stuff that they did on some of the more classic moments that they had on the Carol Burnett Show. We didn't even scratch the surface. And then that's going to get us into this conversation. Vulture.com picked 100 essential TV comedies, and they split up into different genres. So we're talking about anything that falls under the category of comedy, no matter what the genre is. It could be late night TV. It could be family and friends comedy, that kind of workplace comedies, that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200. Keith in Kansas sends a text. I'm not sure if it's considered essential, but I have the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Bob Newhart Show on DVD. I love those shows. I do, too. Those are great shows. And those are essential, I think. I would say absolutely. 708 area code says The League. You know, I never really got into that show. I watched it a little bit. Did you watch The League?
I did. I was really into it for Mark Duplass.
Yeah.
Because it's Jay. Is it Mark
one of them? Yeah, I don't Jay. Can't remember. I can't remember which
yeah,
one.
But it's not. It's not Jay. It's the one who's in more stuff.
Yeah.
But I watched it because of him. And I love the Duplass brothers.
Yeah.
And also, oh God, Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
That man's he's a maniac.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I ever saw him in anything. And
yeah.
I love him.
Well, people love that show. I know. It's got a really, really, really passionate following. The League. And I know a lot of my friends really like it, too. So that's considered essential to some of our listeners. If you want to jump in here, we're talking about essential TV comedies. 312-981-7200. Here's the intro from the article that I'm holding. Serious, dark, scary dramas get a lot of credit for reflecting back important, unseen versions of ourselves, but comedies are how we know ourselves. You can learn as much about humanity by going on a Superstore binge than by sitting down and watching a season of Westworld, and you may actually have more fun. They're home to many of the most innovative, gutsy experiments on TV right now. We call Atlanta a comedy because it is, but also because the category has become so necessarily broad that it includes everything from Roseanne to BoJack Horseman to Nathan for You. In making a list such as this, there's no way to start at the beginning of TV comedy and cover ground, so it includes shows from the past 30 years. Even then, a list of this size exists in a weird place between exhaustive and utterly insufficient. But our aim here is to offer a survey of shows in a wide range of styles and that feel representative of how American TV comedy, we'll tackle the Brits some other time, has evolved from the classics to genre benders to the total weirdos. With that, here's Vulture recommends these 100 essential TV comedies. In the category that we're about to go to, family and friends comedy. Roseanne, which I guess is absolutely essential. Seinfeld, which I agree with 1,000%. They say the inescapable sitcom about terrible people with the remarkable ability to complain about nothing. Yeah, that's essential. That I think without question.
My girlfriend hates Seinfeld.
Why?
She just thinks that she thinks Jerry's not funny. She really does not like Jerry.
He's more of a straight man in that show,
right?
Than I mean, the other three characters get more laughs than he does
I would absolutely agree.
And I think he's funny because he reacts so well to what you know Because I think the other three characters are, and not just those three characters, but, you know, the parents and Newman and Uncle Leo and
everybody.
All that, everybody gets more laughs than Seinfeld. And, you know, that wasn't the case in the first few seasons because they started to cut out all the stand-up stuff. You know, because the first, you know, original idea was to show Jerry Seinfeld on stage doing stand-up that related to what the episode was actually about. But there were like 5, 6, 7 cutaways to stand-up in the early days. And they would always open with him doing stand-up. They abandoned that after a while. You very rarely got to see him do stand-up after a couple of, after like, I think 2-3 seasons.
Yeah. I think it's his voice. I think she doesn't like his voice.
Yeah. Well, I can understand. Here's the thing about Seinfeld. I can understand, you know, people not liking it because the characters are pretty despicable. You know, I mean, they're not the most likable people in
but
the world.
But that's the weird part. She, you know what she does love?
Sonny?
Yeah.
See?
That's what I don't get. I'm like, we're talking about a very similar show in a lot of ways.
Well, the characters on Sonny are worse than the characters on Seinfeld. I mean, by far. that's a show my ex-wife could not watch.
It's Always Sunny?
No. God, she would come in, I'd be watching it, she'd watch like 5 minutes of it, and she would go, how can you watch this show? These people are despicable. And I'm like,
that's the point.
I know, it's hilarious.
And I think her and I both have an affinity for Charlie, specifically.
Oh, you like Charlie?
Yeah,
I'm a Sweet D guy.
You like?
I love her. I love her. I'm so mad that the Mick got canceled.
That was a really
good
show.
It was hilarious.
The first few episodes, it didn't grab me, and then it settled in pretty well.
I thought it was like, great. I was so upset. And then, you know, like that one didn't come back. Brooklyn Nine-Nine did. They both got canceled at the same time. And I'm glad Brooklyn Nine-Nine got picked up again by NBC because that show rules.
Yeah.
All right, they put the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I have to admit ignorance because I never watched it.
It's a very good show.
Yeah, really I know people love it. I just never. There was a period of time in the 80s. Well, was that the 80s or the 90s?
Early 90s.
I never really watched it, but there was a period of time in the mid and late 80s where I didn't watch a lot of TV. I was in my early 20s and I was never home. And so I never really watched a lot of TV. Like Full House, I've never really watched. The Michael J. Fox Family Ties, never really watched. Mm-hmm. All that, the Silver Spoons, all of that stuff, I never. That was not in my wheelhouse at all. Roseanne, even I caught up on Roseanne a little bit later, and as you know, I didn't watch Seinfeld when it was on. I started to watch Seinfeld in like 99 or 2000, like after it was canceled, and now I've seen every episode 5,000 times and I know every line. But I did not watch Seinfeld at all when it was on in first run.
Don't worry, me neither.
Yeah, and now I've, like I said, it's one of my favorite things. I mean, and you can see it anywhere.
Oh yeah,
it's streaming. TBS shows it 15 times a day. You know,
The U.
The U shows it every night, 10 and 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'd say every night at 10 and 10:30, you know, 10 o'clock, I'm watching Trevor Noah every night. That's just, you know, and it's reruns again this week.
Wait, for Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like they're doing specials that where they're taking old, you know, reports and putting them all together. And I'm like, man, he just had a week off like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, man, I need my Trevor Noah every night. How am I going to deal with the world if I don't have Trevor Noah and Stephen Colbert? And,
for sure.
And the John Oliver once a week. Did you finally watch John Oliver?
I did.
Oh, you did? Bill Nye? How amazing was Bill Nye?
As a guy who grew up watching Bill Nye in his classroom, it was very satisfying.
It was, and I love Bill Nye. I love Bill Nye. And that was so hilarious to watch Bill Nye drop F-bombs and go nuts. I thought that was hysterically funny. All right. So here's one that I absolutely loved. And not a lot of people. And again, these lists only go back 30 years. So, like, for instance, you know, like Mary Tyler Moore, because that's like 40 years old. And some of the other ones that you would think are obvious, this list only goes back 30 years. But if you want to call in with something that's older, that's totally fine. Here's one of my favorite shows ever, Get a Life. One of my favorite shows of all time. A dopey, prideful 30-year-old paperboy man-child might sound like an Adam Sandler or Judd Apatow hero, but Chris Elliott got there first. Geeky, weird, and purposefully stilted, Get a Life dismantled the tropes of the sitcom while dropping a charming man with borderline personality disorder into viewers' living rooms. I love Chris Elliott. I love his daughter. I love him. Abby Elliott, you know Abby Elliott's his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She must take after her mother because Abby Elliott's beautiful.
I mean, Chris Elliott is a very funny man with a great personality.
Yeah. I love Chris Elliott, man.
He's very good.
You know, those glory days on Letterman, man. I mean, the stuff that he did on Letterman was absolutely brilliant. I'm quoted on the box for Cabin Boy.
Really?
Yes. I adore Cabin Boy. I think Cabin Boy is genius. And I'm actually quoted. It's one of my points of pride is that my quote is on the front cover of the Cabin Boy DVD or or at least it was on the VHS back when it first came out. I took a date to see that movie and she just did not get it.
And here's the pull quote: hilarious.
That's all it is. Because it is hilarious.
I mean, yeah. Here's the thing.
Here's how badly received that movie was. I'm quoted on the box. They couldn't find anybody who liked that movie. And they were like, look at this idiot on WGN in Chicago who liked it. He liked it? Let's put that quote on there. I am quoted on other ones, though. That I'm quoted on Trespass, the Walter Hill movie with the ISIS versus the Bills. William Sadler and Bill Paxton versus Ice Cube and Ice-T. It's the ISIS versus the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quoted on that one. I'm quoted on Hard Target with Van Damme.
Mm-hmm. And you know what my favorite one is, and actually this is the one that introduced me to who you were.
Yeah.
Was I watched a trailer for Bubba Hotep.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very beginning, what'd you say? Like
a significant piece of American cinema.
Yeah.
And I stand by that
absolutely. And then I watched Bubba Hotep, and I was like, "This guy's on something."
I was on that boat real early. We premiered Bubba Hotep a year before it got its release at Flashback. We were the first here at Flashback. We were the first ones to screen it. Bruce came to town. That's when I got to know Don Coscarelli, who you know obviously directed a seminal movie in my life, Phantasm, which I saw over 100 times in the theaters. Summer of 1979, I spent most of my time in the movie theaters watching Phantasm that entire summer. And that's my relationship started with those guys. And Don, you know, Don, I gave Don, you know, I reviewed the movie. And then Don was like, thanks a lot. I'm going to use one of your quotes on the trailer. And I'm like, all right, it's the first thing you see on the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm on In the Mouth of Madness. I'm on In the Mouth of Madness. Army of Darkness. I was on the poster for Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the ones that, because a lot of these are genre movies. A lot of these are clearly genre movies where, you know, I have a tendency to like more than mainstream critics do. Mm-hmm. Like, who the hell gave Trespass a great review? I did. I put Trespass on my top 10 list the year that came out. I love that movie.
And then meanwhile, Sam Raimi's people are like, somebody get me that. Yeah. Give me that quote for Army of Darkness. Give me that quote.
I actually use the word masterpiece for Army of Darkness.
Well, I mean, that's accurate, though. I just watched it again the other day, and that's an accurate statement.
It's an amazing movie. An amazing movie. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll get back to TV comedies. That's what we're talking about. Essential TV comedies in tons of different categories. This list that we got from Vulture.com, it only goes back 30 years, so some of the real classic stuff like All in the Family, things like that, are not on here. But if you want to jump in with any time period of what you think is essential TV comedy in any genre, 312-981-7200. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to jump into another edition of Know Your Onion. You got to know the difference between real news headlines and onion fake news headlines. That's all coming up. And you win a prize.
Get driving with a lark as cities sleep. Steal a march before the sun. Top philosophy on an open motorway. Chasing break of day somewhere on the border town. Pack my Kelly boots.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, and we're here till 5 o'clock. Who requested that?
Let me just pull up my little list here. That's Tim and Batavia. It's a Scottish band called Run Rig, and the song is called Road Trip.
Have you ever heard of them?
I haven't, but it's good stuff. Okay. And the video here, it's just all beautiful shots of Scotland. So thanks very much, Tim.
Yeah. Big Country was from Scotland, weren't they?
I want to say so.
And a big country dream stay with you. Yeah, they were from Scotland.
Yeah, my familiarity with Scottish music is mostly in the independent scene. So like Jesus and Mary Chain, Franz Ferdinand, Life Without Buildings, some stuff like that.
I once saw Jesus and Mary Chain and did the whole show with their back to the audience.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Their entire show, the entire show. They did not. They came out, had their backs to the audience. It wasn't like the audience pissed them off.
No.
That's how they did the show.
It was either an artistic choice or they were so spaced they could just like not be bothered.
Yeah, great band though. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We are talking about essential comedy, and we want to hear from you guys. And we're going through the section that follows the family and friends comedies. They mentioned Frasier here, which is one of the best shows, really one of the best shows ever. They mentioned Sex and the City, not a big fan myself. They mentioned Girlfriends, I had to sneeze. And then Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my gosh.
I love that show.
It's so good, but there are moments where I'm like literally scratching at my skin. I'm so uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, you know, again, he created Seinfeld and upped the ante for, you know, awkward behavior 8 million times in Curb Your Enthusiasm. But it's just the stuff between him and Jeff Garlin, man. And the late, great Bob Einstein.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He is something else.
Oh my God. And Susie Essman, my God, who plays Garland's wife.
Yeah, she's great.
Every time she screams at Larry and swears at him, it's funny. Yeah. Every single time.
Who plays Larry David's wife again?
Cheryl Hines.
Cheryl Hines.
She's great.
I'm so in love with Cheryl Hines.
She's great. Arrested Development is here, of course. You can't. I mean, Arrested Development, I mean, amazing.
They're not tricks, Michael. They're illusions.
Yeah. Every time I hear that song by Europe, I think every single time. Every time I see the final, every time I hear the final countdown, I think of Job. And remember when they did that, they had Europe do the final countdown on a Geico commercial?
Yeah.
And it was on like every 4 minutes. Every single time it came on, I was like, Job. That show, man, that there's a cast right there. Yeah. That's an unbelievable cast. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Broad City is mentioned as well they should be.
Yes.
God, that last episode was so good.
Well, and it's so nice to see a show from beginning to end. You know, like it's one of the few shows that I watched every week instead of just waiting until I could stream it or something like that.
It is really it's a brilliant show and they're so good. And what made the show special on another level is watching them almost quite literally growing up before your eyes.
Right. And they grew as comedians, and they grew as friends.
Yeah, and they started directing episodes and stuff like that. It was just watching two young 20-somethings, you know, when they did the web series, just trying to survive in Manhattan and trying to survive in New York. And then they got older, and they hit their 30s, and they changed, and so did the characters, and so did their talent. Totally. It's a beautiful show. Broad City is a beautiful, beautiful show, and those two women are unbelievably funny. Here's Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Hey, morning, Nicholas. Morning. Hey, real quick, a blatant happy Mother's Day to your mom.
Okay.
Because without your mom, late night radio would be because we wouldn't have you.
That's very sweet, Robert. Thank you very much. What's your essential comedy?
Well, if you're an old fart like me and you blew weed in the 70s, you watch Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to two guys who are the biggest Python fans on the planet.
I mean, the dead parakeet. I mean, that was price. And I wonder how much of that material got transferred to, you know, like The Office, and in the scene in The Office when they have the when they're running down the street. And because they have the speed limit,
right?
You know, they have,
right.
That's a hilarious,
right?
Bit.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, there's no question that the people who put together The Office, the people who put together any of these modern comedies, are inspired by Python. There's no question that this generation of people who are writing and performing comedy were inspired by Python. I mean, you can't deny it. Robert, I got to hit the news, buddy. But thanks for the call.
Yes.
Take care. Do you watch The Good Place?
I've seen the first season.
I think it's one of the best shows on TV.
I know, but I was kind of...
You're going to be lost if you don't watch the whole thing.
I know, and I was looking for... The thing is that I was looking for more Office or Parks and Rec, and it's not that.
Oh, not at all.
So I need to readjust my head for
it
that.
I think it's the most stunningly original sitcom on television.
That it is.
And The performances are great. And I'm telling you, I have not seen a sitcom on a regular network that has more surprises and more changes and more twists than The Good Place. That's why if you're going to catch up, you got to start at the beginning and go through. Because if you start now, you're going to be like, what the hell is
right.
happening?
I know.
But and the cast is so amazing. The whole cast is great. And Kristen Bell, as far as I'm concerned, national treasure. I've loved her since Veronica Mars. Absolutely. And I like her husband. I like Dax Shepard. I don't care. And I like them together. I think they're great together. Except in SWAT. Or not SWAT. What the hell was the Chips. Except in Chips. All right. We're going to break. The news is up after this. More essential comedy for TV from you guys.
You trade.
Well, what's going on? Did we get Rawhide? Now we got Mule Train? What the hell's happening here? Wildcard Wednesday, that's what's happening. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday! 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Who requested that?
That's Brad in Chicago Ridge.
Okay.
A little clip-clop.
Okay. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have been talking about essential TV comedies. In different kinds of categories. We're going to move on to, and we want to hear from you guys in whatever genre. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, essential TV comedies. Workplace comedies is where we're going to go now. Murphy Brown. That was another one of those shows that I never really watched. And I have not watched the reboot either. Let's see. Now, here's one of the greatest shows ever of all time. The Larry Sanders Show. With the late, great Gary Shandling. By the way, Tom, did you see the documentary, the Judd Apatow documentary about Gary Shandling?
No, I didn't know they made one.
HBO. It was on HBO last year. It's the best thing that Apatow's ever done. Best film he's ever made. Apatow got his start writing for Gary Shandling and The Larry Sanders Show. Groundbreaking. Nothing had ever really been like that done before. And, of course, incredibly accurate in terms of show business stuff, except for the David Duchovny crush on Gary Shandling, which is just brilliant. But, yeah, no, Larry Sanders Show was one of the best shows of all time. Sports Night, that was a show that had a real passionate following.
That it did.
Aaron Sorkin. Strangers with Candy. Have you watched that Home with Amy Sedaris?
I haven't, the new no.
Oh, my
no.
God, man. It is... She is one of my favorite people on the planet. I adore Amy Sedaris. She's insane. I love her brother.
Yeah.
I think her brother's amazing.
What a talented family.
Oh, my God. I just forget it. Reno 911, legendary. And all of those people went on to do other stuff. Everybody on that show. Extras, Ricky Gervais. We're talking workplace comedies. The Office. They have the U.S. version here. They should have both because they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
It's Always Sunny, considered a workplace.
So good.
It's good. Hilarious.
I'm cultivating mass.
30 Rock.
That was tremendous. I watched that a lot in college.
Great show. Great, great show. Now, here's one I didn't watch, Party Down.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, I know. Adam Scott's in it, Lizzie Kaplan.
You would really like Party Down.
And it's like, I guess they have like unbelievable guest stars on the show.
Oh, yeah. The funny part is that one of the best guest stars that they ever had was, who's the guy from like the Police Academy movies? Like it's he's like the star of the Police Academy.
Steve Guttenberg?
Yeah. Okay. And they play him up like he's this huge, like, legend, this huge star or something. And, you know, it's a show all about people working as caterers in L.A.
Right,
and they all want to be actors or something like that.
Right.
And he's like, everybody's trying to sell a script to Steve Guttenberg. And it's just so funny.
All right. I mean, I'll have to dig those up. I just never ended up watching it. Parks and Rec.
Better than The Office, if you ask me.
No.
Yep.
I think they're both great. I think they're both great.
I like Parks and Rec better. It's got the emotional core of that show is really something special.
And I like my Chris Pratt chubby and dumb. I don't like him. I don't like him svelte and heroic. I like him chubby and dumb.
Well, he's got some of the best lines in that show, some of the best outtakes.
Oh, my God. He's hilarious. He's hilarious. Everybody on that show is great.
Sure.
Everybody. Children's Hospital. I like.
Such a weird show.
I'm not a big Rob Corddry guy. I'm just not. I mean, but even though I did like this show, but I'm not a big Rob. Like, in general, I'm not a big Rob Corddry guy.
He's hit and miss.
Silicon Valley, I think, is great. Superstore, they've included as a. Now, late night talk shows and nonfiction, this category. They pick Late Night with Conan O'Brien from when it started in 1993, which was classic. The Daily Show. Loved it with Jon Stewart.
What about Craig Kilborn?
Love it. That's right. Craig Kilborn was the first. That's right. Craig Kilborn was the first. And then Craig Kilborn was the first one to host the Late Late Show. And then the other Craig, the better Craig, took over.
That is true.
Daily Show is essential to me. I watch it. It's essential. The Chris Rock Show, which was great. Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn, not so much. Not so much. The Colbert Report, never liked it.
You didn't like the Colbert Report?
No. And I didn't like the opposition, the Jordan Klepper one. I don't like the when these people who are clearly liberal in their politics act like jackasses from the other side. So I didn't like the Colbert character. I didn't think it was very funny, and it wore out its welcome really quickly. Especially on the show, like on the Daily Show, it was fine. Uh-huh. But the whole show dedicated to that, I was like, no. Just like that Jordan Klepper thing that they did, the opposition, which they canceled after, I don't know, like a half season. A season.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the character. I love him.
Sure.
Loved him at Second City, you know, and I love his show. I think the Late Show is phenomenal, and I think his monologues are brilliant. But he's being the normal. He's being like him. I just didn't think the character was very funny.
I honestly liked the Colbert Report more than I liked the Daily Show.
Oh, well, that was the deal, though. I mean, you know, because every year, anytime, it always beat everybody. Like, there was it's like now, it's John Oliver. John Oliver is always, you know, that's the one
he's
that wins. He's brilliant.
He is. He does a very, very good job.
Chelsea Lately, loved it. I don't care. I love Chelsea Handler. I know so many people find her shrill and they hate her and... I think she's great.
I think there was a run. There was a heyday for Chelsea Lately that was really, really good, just like there was a heyday for... did you ever watch The Soup?
Of course.
Yeah. I think there was a time when it was really, really good, and then
working. I liked everybody who hosted The Soup. I liked Kinnear. I liked John Hansen. Aisha Tyler. And then who was the last...
Joel McHale.
Oh, Joel McHale. Right. Mm-hmm. So I like
Joel McHale is when I watched The Soup.
Yeah.
And he was great for a while, and then the snarky attitude got really, really tiresome.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
And he tried to come back on Netflix with the Joel McHale show, and it was not working.
Yeah. Eric Andre, they mentioned here, Eric Andre show.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Thank God.
It is so weird and so great and so crazy. Now, they mentioned Last Week Tonight.
Yeah,
which is brilliant. Late Night with Seth Meyers, brilliant. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, brilliant.
Mm. I would like to see a little bit more recognition for her at times because I think she's really crafted a really good show.
Yeah,
that I think because John Oliver gets all the attention, but she's in a fantastic one of probably my favorite Daily Show alum
is. John Oliver?
No, is
Samantha Bee. Oh, she's great.
I like her better than Steven.
I like
which is really not say. I mean, I also adore him.
I love Samantha Bee. I think Samantha Bee is great, and I think she's brilliant. And Robin Thede, her show was great. It lasted. I was so mad when they canceled it.
They just pulled the plug.
It was a great show, and she was doing stuff that nobody else was doing from a voice that wasn't being represented. And they, you know, and Larry Wilmore when they, you know, because those are voices that aren't being represented. I mean, late night it's usually just white guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You got Samantha Bee, but Robin Thede was filling a void that was needed to be filled. Mm-hmm. And Larry Wilmore, who's a brilliant writer.
Oh, he's so funny.
And I thought the Nightly Show was good, but it wasn't on long enough to find its footing.
Right.
Daily Show wasn't great when it first came on. A lot of these shows weren't great when they first came on.
Well, Well, there's no more time to breathe anymore. Yeah. You either have to hit immediately or you're done.
Exactly, which is too bad. All right, we're going to get to dramedies and genre benders as essential TV comedy. And there's a bunch in here that I absolutely love. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! Who requested that?
Oh, that was Steve.
Steve.
Really taking advantage of the wild card.
Wild card Wednesday. Yeah.
All right. BTS.
Yeah, BTS. Yeah. We are talking about essential TV comedies. And then after 4:30, we are going to play another round of Know Your Onion, where you have to know the difference between a real headline and a fake, funny onion headline. And you win some prizes, and Tom is going to host that, and we'll have that coming up in a little bit. But we're talking about essential TVs and essential TV comedies. People are sending in their thoughts. 301 area code says there are so many, but Dick Van Dyke, I Love Lucy, Mary Tyler Moore Show, Bob Newhart Show, Carol Burnett. 847 says Rules of Engagement. Really?
I know. You know what? Me and my mom used to watch that.
Really?
Yeah. We got a kick out of it. Okay. David Spade was all... Patrick Warburton was pretty
funny. Well, I love him. I love him.
I just love his voice.
Yeah, he's putty. He's always going to be putty. 815 says The Office and Parks and Rec. 630, Malcolm in the Middle, which is a great show. Honeymooners, Simpsons. Another person says Honeymooners. And then 773, I think Benny Hill was essential. So it's really odd. I'm not a big Benny Hill guy.
No?
No. I mean, I thought it was. There were parts of it that I thought were funny, but of course, I was way more into Python, like in that, you know. And so, all right, dramedies and genre benders, Mystery Science Theater 3000, please. Brilliant. Freaks and Geeks, one of the most beloved shows that lasted one season ever. And where did all those people go? By the way,
yeah.
This dead to me. With Christine Applegate and Linda Cardellini is great. Great. Weeds, never watched Weeds.
The first couple seasons were really good, and then it just starts losing its way.
Okay.
But there's some great performances on it.
There's another short-lived show that I thought was absolutely brilliant, Pushing Daisies. Love that show. Love that show. And here's one of my favorite HBO shows of all time. It only lasted two seasons. I adored Enlightened, Mike White's show with a brilliant Laura Dern. I really love that show a lot, and I knew, you know, it wasn't going to last more than two seasons. They knew that, but man, it was just absolutely brilliant. Girls, I lasted a couple of seasons on that, and then I had to turn it off.
Plus, Lena Dunham is generally pretty insufferable.
Yeah. I did like Camping, though, the show that she created Jennifer Garner. I liked that. I liked it. You want to talk about unlikable characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm curious, is Flight of the Conchords on there?
It doesn't seem to be.
Oh, that's too bad. That's another short-lived HBO comedy that
was a great show.
So good.
And by the way, What We Do in the Shadows, I'm so glad it got renewed.
Yeah, it's next
level. It's so great. It's so, so great. What else do we got here? Jane the Virgin is on here. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I loved that show. Rachel Bloom. Amazing. Documentary Now. Please. Please. Lady Dynamite. Did you watch Lady Dynamite?
I did really like Lady Dynamite.
I worship Maria Bamford. I think Maria Bamford is one of the funniest women that's ever lived. And then, of course, Atlanta, which I think it's not on right now currently, but it's the best show on TV. I think Atlanta's the best show on TV. Baskets is coming back in June.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They showed a promo for it last night during Fosse Verdon. They showed a promo, and I was like, Baskets! American Vandal, hilarious. And then sketch comedies, In Living Color, they mentioned, the Ben Stiller show. That's another one that had a cast that all went on to do incredible things. Def Comedy Jam. The State, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Tom Green Show, please. Mr. Show, well, please. Mr. Show with Bob and Dave. I mean, what are we talking about here? Mr. Show. One of the great. That's one of the greatest shows of all time. This is insane. Did you ever see the Dana Carvey show? It lasted. I mean, it was. It should. First of all, it shouldn't have been on NBC. It should have been on some sort of. It should have been like on a cable network. But Steve Carell, Louis C.K., Stephen Colbert wrote for the Dana Carvey show, and it was brilliant. And I'm not the biggest Dana Carvey fan in the world, but that show was pretty brilliant. You got Upright Citizens Brigade. That's where Amy Poehler came from. Jackass, which of course is one of the funniest things that's ever been invented in the world. Chappelle's Show, brilliant. Tim and Eric's awesome show. I see, not a thing with me.
No. Have you ever seen Tim Heidecker's On Cinema at the Cinema?
No. They made a movie, and it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen ever in my life. It was the Tim and Eric movie. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. RuPaul's Drag Race, which is great. Portlandia. I'm sad to see that one going.
Mm-hmm.
Sketch comedy is what we're talking about. And then Key and Peele. Maybe the best sketch comedy show of all time. It was only on for four seasons, but it was. How can you narrow down what the highlights were? There's so many of them. First of all, the East-West College Bowl stuff with the football names is still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The substitute teacher sketches are unbelievable. The getting ready for Terry's when they're on the plane. I can't even need the auction block. The Les Mis takeoff,
yeah.
The sexy vampires. I could go on. Seriously, I could go on all morning just rattling off how brilliant Key and Peele were.
The East-West Bowl thing is huge.
Yeah.
X-Wing huge. At Aliciousness.
I think I like Jackhammer, the Jackhammer sound effect. Where's that sound?
Lewith.
Yeah.
Nevada State Penitentiary.
Yeah. It's fantastic. All right, real quick, we'll close this out here. I'll hang on to this because we might have some time because they got the animated section. We haven't gotten to the animated section yet. Just maybe nostalgia, but whenever I Growing Pains, Family Ties, or Mr. Belvedere come on, I stop and watch. 716, King of Queens, has excellent writing. Never get into that show. 630 News Radio, great show. Great show. Yeah, here's one that I haven't watched, and everybody keeps telling me I need to watch it. Brockmire with Hank Azaria. I recently discovered Blank's Creek. Now, it's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S, but I'm not going to say it on the air. And the show's great. So, all right, let's break for the news. And then after the news, we'll have a round of Know Your Onion. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. You got to tell the fake news headline from a real news headline, and you'll win a prize. All right, news is up after this. It's hot in the night, lonely black and white on a hot summer night. Don't be afraid of the world we made. Can I guess who requested this?
Go.
Ike.
Yep.
He's kind of obsessed with Billy Idol.
So. Hey, man. We all are, I think, deep down.
Yeah. Billy Idol. It's a Wild Card Wednesday. You've been Wild Card Wednesday with the 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. So here's the deal. We're going to play a little Know Your Onion. And this is where we need you guys to call in. We're going to take two separate listeners, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And Tom is your host, and he is going to read to you some headlines. And you have to guess whether it's a real headline or an Onion headline. Onion, the satirical fake news comedy newspaper. Website, The Onion. So you just say real or onion. Do we have our intro?
Of course.
It's time to Know Your Onion.
There we go. Yeah.
Big crowd today.
Big crowd. They're all very excited. And you can win some prizes here. That's how it works. Just have to know the difference between the real headline and the onion headline. And our first contestant is Kathy from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Hi. You familiar with The Onion?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you have to just decide whether or not. Tom's going to read you five headlines. If you get the majority of them correct, you win. That's how easy it is.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready to start off, Tom?
All right. Kathy, you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here is your first headline. ABC producers blasted for controversial selection of underage bachelorette. Is that Real or The Onion?
I'll say Real.
Ooh, I'm sorry. That is an Onion headline.
That was The Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ABC would be in so much trouble if they...
Yeah.
ABC would be in so much trouble if they hired an underage
bachelor.
Girl.
No, well, no, you never know.
Not good. All right. You can still win something, Kathy. Just listen closely. Here we go.
All right, Kathy. Condom company releases baby blocker to wipe baby pictures from social media feeds. Is that Real or is that The Onion?
Onion.
Ooh.
No, God! No, God! Please, no! 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 No!
I'm sorry. That is an actual headline.
That's a real headline?
That's a real headline. A condom company has released a baby blocker that will allow you to wipe baby pictures from social media feeds.
Wow.
I know.
Really?
All right. See, this is the whole game.
That's what it is.
It's crazy.
The world is so weird right now that The Onion seems more sane. That's what's going on here. All right. You got to get these next three correct in order to win the big prize, Kathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Kathy, Arizona lifts nunchuck ban inspired by 1970s Bruce Lee movies. Is that real?
I'm going to go Real.
Oh, let's see. That is Real. That's an actual ban.
Good for Bruce Lee.
Yeah. And finally,
nunchucks.
Now all the Bruce Lee fans of Arizona have something to do.
Now I can't even. By the way, I can't think of nunchucks and not think of that episode of Barry. I just,
that's true.
It's so crazy. Okay, all right, Kathy, nice job. Let's see if you can do it again.
Stay alive. All right. Alabama cracks down on abortions by outlawing all medical procedures. Pardon me. Let me say that one more time. Alabama cracks down on abortions by outlawing all medical procedures. Is that Real or The Onion?
I'm going to go Onion.
Shang-Wei.
Very good.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. That's a timely one.
Yes.
Did they just publish that one?
Yes. hot off the presses. Yeah. Hot off the presses.
All right. You get this right, Kathy, and you come from behind. This will be a come from behind victory. All right.
All right. Here it is. Craftsman confirms new hammer is backwards compatible with the previous generation of nails. Is that Real or The Onion?
Going to go Onion.
Excellent!
You did it!
Good job, Kathy. Way to come from behind. Way to come from behind. You got yourself Lou Malnati's gift certificate, which is
awesome.
Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. And that's all yours. That's how you play the game.
Thank you.
All right, Kathy, hang on for a bit, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Kathy's going to hang on. We are going to have our next contestant. We have room for one more here, contestant. And the idea is that you have to name, see if one of the headlines is Real or one of the headlines is from The Onion. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number Tom's on the phone. Getting together. Oh, we have a line open if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We have a line open. First person in is going to be our next contestant for a chance to win if you can tell the difference between a Real headline and an Onion headline on Know Your Onion. So the phone lines are open. Get in here now at 312-981-7200. I can't believe that baby...
The baby blocker?
Yeah.
Oh, it's insanity. It's pure insanity.
It's just crazy. Crazy. So see, that's what I'm saying. This game is pretty difficult. This was all Tom came up with this idea because, you know, we all read The Onion here. And so we thought, since the world is really weird right now, like really, really exceptionally weird right now, that we would jump in here and try this out. So, all right, we're waiting on our second contestant to jump in here. And, So why don't we do this? Tom, get the second contestant ready to go. And I'm going to do the weather. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll jump right back into the game. So I'm going to do the weather now. And we'll come back. And we got somebody on the line, right? Okay, we have a contestant ready to go. And that's Chris. And we'll talk to Chris right after we break here. I'll do the weather now, and then we'll come back clean slate and start over with our new contestant, Chris, on Know Your Onion. I love Tootsie. Who requested that?
That was our good pal, Jay.
Jay. All right. Hey, welcome back. It's Wild Card Wednesday, and that wrapped it up.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. We'll do it again next week. Hey, speaking of our regular features, I want to mention again, Friday we have our regular features, and you can participate. We've got Straight Out of Context, which is when you listen 24-7 to this radio station whenever anybody at any time on any show says something that you can pull out of context, and it sounds dirty, and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We also have Nick D Show Spies. That's where you listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody at any time on any show mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who mentioned us, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We got You Big Dummy and Fly Jams Fridays, all coming up every Friday. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Okay, are we ready for our next contestant on Know Your Onion?
Yes, we are.
All right, and this is Chris, who's on his way to work. Hi, Chris.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good. Now, are you familiar with The Onion?
I am.
Okay, so we just have to know, is this a real news headline, or is it an Onion headline, and you either say real or onion? Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Ready, Tom?
Yes, sir. All right. Chris, your first headline, Guns N' Roses sues brewery over Guns N' Rosé beer. Is that real or The Onion?
I would say that's real.
Very good. That is a real headline.
Is that right?
Yeah, they are suing a brewery over the use of Guns N' Rosé.
Guns N' Rosé.
So Chris is off to a commanding start.
Nice job, Chris. Keep it up. Here we go.
All right, here's another one. Upset Red Sox fan demands to speak to manager. Is that real or The Onion?
I would say that's The Onion.
Shang-win.
Very good.
You know what? I would have believed that was real.
Yeah.
Knowing the Boston fans, do you know what I mean? I would have believed that was absolutely real. Like, let me speak to the manager. So, all right. All right, Chris, good job, man.
Yeah, he's got two of them down.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can finish it off right here. Here's your next headline. Avengers beat off Pikachu at the box office.
I would say that. I'm going onion.
No, it's real. That's real. What publication is that? Where's that from?
It was just from a movie publication, just like a general industry one. Avengers beat off Pikachu at the box office.
Can't even
phrasing.
Man. How did that get passed? I don't even know.
Some editor, I guess.
All right. We got that one wrong, Chris, but all right.
All right. Let's give you another one here.
All right.
All right. Now, here's one from PBS, the world of PBS at the very least. Arthur's Mr. Ratburn comes out as gay, gets married in season 22 premiere. Is that real or is that The Onion? Did that actually happen?
I'm going to go Onion.
Ooh, let's see. It is very real.
That's real.
Yeah, Mr. Ratburn. Okay. He came out as gay and he got married.
He's got to get this one right, right? This is the last one.
Yeah, it's like game seven.
Yeah. It's like game seven. So you got to get this one right.
Got to get this one.
All right, Chris, put on your thinking cap.
All right. The Dow drops 600 points over picture of worried stockbroker staring at computer screen. Is that real or The Onion?
Well, I know it dropped. I don't know if it was because of that, but I'm going to go real.
Oh,
No!
It's apparently no.
No.
No, it dropped because of what's going on with China, the tariffs. That's why it dropped.
I know that. It's that news association, you know. Yeah. Get the farmers on there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, we're not going to let you go home empty-handed, okay, Chris? Because you're going to get yourself a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. You can call 855-955-HVAC. That's 855-955-HVAC. So you got yourself the desktop weather station, okay?
Thank you so much, guys. That was fun.
Hang on a second. There's Chris. He'll give us some information. And we will do it again next Wednesday. Know your onion. So study your news clippings and study your onion, and maybe you'll be prepared to win next week. So there it is. We'll do that again next week. All right. Okay. And nobody goes home empty-handed when we play Know Your Onion. So, all right. We were talking about essential TV comedies, and they were in different categories. And the final category in this article that we've been talking about is animated. And, of course, The Simpsons is first. And, again, this list only goes back 30 years, so it's not going to have, like, the old, sort of the old cartoons on it. But The Simpsons, it says, go back and watch the first several seasons of the show when Homer was a working-class dad, Lisa was the voice of reason, and Bart zipped around on the skateboard causing mayhem. Feel free to skip all the later seasons when the show became hyper-defensive for its real frustrating problems. We talked about that yesterday, about how The Simpsons at one time used to be the best show on TV, and it hasn't been for many, many years. And they hit rock bottom on the ratings recently. Beavis and Butthead, one of my favorite things ever. It was Mike Judge's first big project. Two couch-bound morons giggling endlessly about fire and whatever music videos fate thrust in front of them. You can't not love Beavis and Butthead. The Critic is listed on here, with John Lovitz as a critic inspired by, you know, Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel. Space Goes Coast to Coast, which was genius. It was the leftover Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and you turned it into a subversive talk show with a weird sensibility. That was a really funny, really, really funny show. Daria, which was great, and it was on MTV. King of the Hill, from 1997 to 2010, King of the Hill was on. And I really thought that was great, too. Another Mike Judge creation that I thought was very, very funny. Yep. And I'm going to sneeze. Oh, man. All right. South Park. South Park is now in its 23rd season. And here's the thing about South Park that's different from The Simpsons. South Park is still great. South Park is still great. I think it's brilliant. Futurama. You know, Futurama is on Comedy Central, I think, 50 times a day. I think that half of their programming is just hours and hours of back-to-back Futurama.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. The genius that is Aqua Teen Hunger Force. One of the greatest shows ever. Adult Swim, completely insane.
Did you see the movie?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? I remember sitting in the crowd at the theater with not a crowd. I'm sorry. There was no crowd. There was some people, and clearly some of them had no idea what the hell was going on. And I love the fact that it ended like almost every Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode ends, except that Aqua Teen Hunger Force is like 15 minutes long. But yeah, I loved it. Robot Chicken, that's still on?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, good for Seth Green. That's a pretty funny show. The Boondocks was great. That was a great show. Archer, I love Archer.
The later season, they just do themes now.
I know, it's Archer 1999.
Oh, God.
Bob's Burgers, great show. Rick and Morty, classic. Rick and Morty is genius. Steven Universe. I don't know what that is.
That is, it's on Cartoon Network. It's more geared towards kids.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I would call that a comedy necessarily, though.
Okay. BoJack Horseman, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And then their last one is Big Mouth, the Nick Kroll animated show, which I love, actually. So there you go. Those were some essential TV comedies. And again, We wish a fond farewell to Tim Conway, the genius, and may he rest in peace. And he provided us with hours and hours and hours of wonderful entertainment, most of it available online. You should check it out if you've not seen some of it. Okay, we're going to break. What do we got coming up tomorrow, Tom?
Tomorrow we've got Rod Pyle coming in to talk some space, and then a couple of members of Start Making Sense, a fantastic Talking Heads tribute band.
And they got a gig?
Yeah, they got a gig coming up this weekend in Martyrs, so we'll talk all about it.
Very cool. And that's coming up on the show tomorrow. All right, stay tuned for the news, which is after this.